Hey, this is Brett the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to OWW Radio.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
All right, it is online. World of Wrestling, OWW, Genesis, WTR, Pile Talk, Radio Networks. I'm Nick Anthony, Joe with Alan Waljek, joined, of course, with Aaron Kendrick. Broadcasting live from the United States this Tuesday night, and you're tuned in to online World of Wrestling Radio, man. OWW Radio, where fans and legends come together. Whether you are a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, NXT Superstars, or Friday Night SmackDown, what about TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, the Indies? We talked them all, man. And we want to hear from you. We made it easy for you with our toll-free telephone number. It's 888-357-9876. That's 888-357-9876. Hit option one. Email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Big show we have today. Celebrating our 50th episode as part of onlineworldofwrestling.com. Great show, huh, Alan?
Oh, this is going to be super huge, man. 3 hours plus former WWE superstar. And I believe he wrestled this weekend for Dragon Gate USA with his normal tag team partner, Brian Kendrick. Yeah. Former Cruiserweight champion and tag team champion, Paul London, will be joining us. I believe he had a move to our 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific block. But he is going to be here, guys, so definitely if you got questions for him, get him ready. He'll answer anything. If you saw a shoot interview recently, they'll answer anything. So
I think he's going to be up north here in California, too, either next week or he's up here this week for a promotion up here. Yeah, is it a convention? All right.
I think Old School Warrior on the Genesis board, which you can access through onlineworldofwrestling.com, and mentioned something about a convention or a show. I'm not sure. Yeah. Before we get to all, we're going to do a complete rundown in a few minutes, folks, but unfortunately we have some really somber news, and this one affects some current stars of the business. British wrestler and promoter Andre Baker passed away over the weekend at age 45, and this is where it gets sad. Reportedly after committing suicide. Now, if you're going, I don't know this name, well, if you lived in the United Kingdom, you would know him because he founded UK Hammerlock, which made him merged into the NWA as an affiliate and helped the careers of several top UK stars, including current TNA superstar Doug Williams, NXT's Wade Barrett, WWE diva Katie Leah Burchill, and many others. The sad part is that he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way over the years, but should be remembered for helping regenerate the UK wrestling scene back at a time when the business over there was virtually dead. And it was, because I've talked to Christopher Gray, who is a TNA, a WWE developmental person, Tommy Taylor, Steve Lewington, who was a guest on here, did an interview with him, and they all agreed that when they left, if it wasn't for this guy, you wouldn't have had an indie scene or any kind of scene over there. So it's sad to read about, but
Is there any reports on what he, you know, the type of suicide he attempted, or what was the story there?
There's nothing really.
Economic times or what?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't seen anything else on the boards or online lately. We can have probably Scott or Corey if they want to dig around for it. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff, like Nick said. As we said, we've got Paul London tonight as a guest. We were trying to get Pitbull Gary Wolf, but I think that didn't happen. We apologize. He's an interesting interview, too, if we can get him. But there's 49 shows before this of memories that... before we do TNA news, WWE news, I'm going to shut up and let Nick talk, because if it wasn't for Nick, we wouldn't even be here talking. So take it away, boss.
Well, we started off on the old side Obsessed. It went by Obsessed, basically. And we were the same show, other than basically having the show focused around the forum, the Genesis forum. It's still around. We talked things that happened around the forum, like Undisputed and the E-Fed, and it was a place for the community to come together and basically meet each other on the air. And we just morphed into something bigger once, Brad Dykin started getting interested in the show. Jason Dedrich, who is the owner of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, he got interested in the show. They heard about this little show on Obsessed, and they were impressed with the professionalism that we had and we shown. Just talking about what's going around on the forum, Genesis. So we just morphed into, you know, this. I don't want to say mega show, but we morphed into this popular show that more and more people started listening to. Of course, Genesis was listening to it, but people outside of Genesis was listening to it, and by doing so, by putting this great show together, OWW Radio, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykins, they wanted to bring us on to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. I mean, here's a website in OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com that could go out and get, you know, any wrestling radio show they wanted to. We all know the reputation that Brad has, that Online has.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you just go to Google search, go to Yahoo search, type in any wrestler's name, and Online World of Wrestling will pop up as in the first, you know, the first search engine there. It'll pop up as number one or number three, but no lower than five, and that's incredible to have this website pop up. When you type in any name, type in Terry Funk, and you'll get OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Type in Paul London, you'll get OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. So here's this website online that can go out and get any wrestling radio show it desires. And they choose OWW Radio because of our professionalism and the way we, you know, portray ourselves on air and off air.
And then you ruined it by bringing me on.
And then I ruined it by bringing you on, of course, Al. No, you're a great co-host. You helped me out big time when I needed you, when my profession required me to do some things that I couldn't be around for. And I thank you for coming on board with us, man.
Oh, I'm happy to be here every week. It's a lot of fun.
There's a on Genesis. There's a thread that's talking about the retro days of OWW. A lot of the members were basically doing some flashbacks into the times when we were a part of Obsessed. And it got me thinking about some of the great moments that we had here on OWW Radio. And throughout the course of this show, we'll play some of those clips. Some great times. Can you guys remember when we talked to Katie DeRosa from The Columbus? when Jericho punched that lady, square off. I think the lady spat on Jericho, and Jericho went off.
Well, that happened in Canada, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened in Canada. Security wasn't doing anything. Jericho just decked this woman. It was all over the papers, and we got Katie on. That's something we do here on OWW Radio that no other wrestling radio show does. And that's go far and beyond just wrestling. We go out to the real news sources, newspapers, television, other radio shows. We go outside of the norm and try to get the real story. That's why I don't like doing play-by-play or breaking down pay-per-views or wrestling shows. It's so stupid. Anybody can come on and break down a wrestling show, a fake wrestling show or a fake show. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So we stick to the real stories here, and we try to dive deep into it. We have attorneys on, like Brian Oxman, who is Michael Jackson's attorney. Well, one of Michael Jackson's attorneys, the Jackson family estate attorney. He comes on periodically here on OWW Radio. We had him on when Jackson passed away. He came on during the whole Jeff Hardy incident. Matter of fact, we have a clip about that as well. Remember the call that we had about New Jack? The New Jack call? Were you here around then, Alan, when New Jack called us up?
New Jack called you guys up? You need a bunch of attorneys and send. Well, we're online, so you don't have to censor him, but I've met him a few times. It depends on what mood you get him in. He's an interesting person to even sit and just talk to.
Yeah, New Jack called us up. It was about the Jeff Hardy incident. Jeff Hardy getting suspended from the WWE. New Jack just basically went off on everybody, and basically the whole media, wrestling media, news media, he just went off. And we'll play that if we can find it. We'll play that. 888-357. We'll also take your phone calls. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the telephone number. We'll read your emails live. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Anything you can remember from the past 49 shows here on OWW Radio, as well as the old shows on OWW Fan. I know one of the things I like the most about doing this show, OWW Radio, is hearing from you guys. Us being an internet radio show, it gives us the chance to really talk to you guys without the formalities of doing it on terrestrial radio, you know, with time restraints and things like that. So that's one of the things I like the most about doing OWW Radio is getting to know you guys. I got to know a lot of people over the years. Paul, Horseman for Life, Creed is one of my best buds online. Of course, Shockage, who can say anything bad about Shockage? Alan, Aaron, Corey Scott, even Daniel, the true. Jose. So give us a call. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the telephone number. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the telephone number. And there's going to be a something going down later on in the show that'll take us back to those early years of OWW Radio that Genesis might find interesting. So stick around for that. I'm not going to break the news to you guys yet, but stick around for that. You guys will like that. All right. Getting back into the show, there was another, somber news, Alan. You mentioned the UK promoter. Terry Funk, he suffered a ruptured eardrum this past weekend, did he not?
Yeah, that's a big surprise. I think it was Corey that was going to these shows in Canada for Great North Wrestling in Thunder Bay. Yeah, he suffered let's try that in English. He suffered, a ruptured eardrum, and it happened this past weekend. And according to this, the news thing, it didn't even happen at the show. It happened during a pre-show press conference.
Wow.
We're both looking at the same notes here, that the injury occurred there. He was brought in as a special referee for a match between TNA superstar Kevin Nash and a local Canadian worker named Hannibal.
Also, how can you rupture your eardrum in a press conference, though?
You take an elbow to the head the wrong way, or maybe he got pushed in a push-shove, pulled apart, he falls, hits a table. Wow. Anything. Even the most... All you got to do, ask Steve Corino. He got his eardrum destroyed because Homicide hit him with an open slap that caught the bony part of the palm of his hand, and that damaged his ear beyond any recognition. You stand near Corino, and you, to this day, you have to stand on the opposite side of the injury for Steve to even hear you talk. So anything could happen. I'm not a medical doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but that's just the vibe that I'm getting from reading something like this. And when I first heard about it, I was like, he ruptured his eardrum. Oh, God, at 65, he's still wrestling? But
That's what I thought. Well, maybe he got into the ring and, you know, that whole thing there. But further reading at a press conference, what the hell?
Hey, but look at Hulk Hogan. He got busted up in Australia all those the times he did the Hulkamania tour with Flair. Took one punch the hard way, and boom, he's bleeding. It's like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
We'll get into a whole bunch of that stuff. I mean, I feel like we're a part of like a special Raw or an Impact, but we have 3 hours, man. We're not gonna rush and race through stuff, but we've got lots of news to cover.
Speaking of Raw, you see the Raw last night? That was a great show. I haven't watched Raw in months.
It was interesting.
One of the best I've seen in a while.
Where else are you gonna get to see a man who's walked on the moon video of him knocking out somebody?
Yeah. Well, besides the buzz part of Raw last night, the show was actually pretty good.
It had its moments. It was weird to watch it with the whole 2 hour thing, and who knew? We've got a new United States Heavyweight Champion, and his name's not Bryan Danielson. It's Bret the Hitman Hart.
If this was his farewell, tour for WWE, why would they give him the belt?
Apparently, last night was his last contracted night. It got all over the place. So, I don't know if it's a mea culpa. I'm going to come out next Sunday, do what he was going to do in 97, come out with the belt and say, I love it here, I'm done, here's the belt, have a mini tournament or something. Who knows?
Is the ratings down from last night? Are the ratings in 3.4? Is that the official rating, 3.4?
Yeah, that up from last week's was a 3.1.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't understand what it is. I don't understand it. Even Tim Stein, our other producer, is saying that it's exactly what I typed on IM last night and made them read it, and they laughed at me, Brett winning. And it was like, they had talked about it on the WTR Sunday night when I was sitting in with them while Tim had no voice, which hopefully he has found somewhere in Alberta. That he said, wouldn't it be funny if somehow, Tyson Kidd jumps in and this guy jumps in and Brett wins? I was like, they're not going to put the bill.
You know what I was expecting?
Son of a gun happened.
Yeah, when I seen, Vladimir and Regal come down, and then I see Tyson Kidd and Smith jump over the barricades, and I'm watching Bret Hart in the ring by himself. Then Natty jumps in. I'm expecting the Anvil to come down. Was anybody else expecting the Anvil to be there?
I was expecting Vince Russo to walk out and go and see I'm back, suckers, because it almost felt like watching a TNA angle where everybody came in. But it goes back to the talk we had around the WrestleMania time of how many bumps did we think. He was
Why are you such a hater of TNA, man?
Let's focus on the WWE thing for a minute. Don't worry, we'll destroy TNA in a few minutes after that pay per view they
but
had.
But there's no reason to destroy TNA. But
they're doing a good job of it on their own.
Every time you get a chance, you bash TNA for whatever reason, man.
I'm bashing WWE right now. I don't understand how you put a belt on a guy who's never going to take a bump. This is like when TNA put the tag titles on Adam Pac-Man Jones after the NFL said, Pac-Man, you're never going to take a bump. You can't get touched.
Maybe so, they're doing something for the old school fans like me and you by giving Bret Hart the U.S. title. I don't understand it either. There's got to be some logic the WWE is doing. I don't know. But
I didn't see any notes. Is he defending it this Sunday at Over the Limit? I haven't seen the full rundown on the show yet.
I don't know. I have no clue. We'll find out from WWE. I just don't like how, see, even everybody on Genesis, whenever there's a dead space to write or to speak, they're bashing TNA for absolutely no reason, forgetting that it's basically a new company. You got to give them time.
I've given them almost 8 years.
Yeah, but Hogan and Hogan and Bischoff just recently took over, did they not? That's why I'm saying it's basically a new company. You got to give them time to develop storylines, get things properly set up. I don't know. Just my opinion, man. I don't know. 888-357-9876, option 1. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. What we'll do is we'll take a break, come back.
Are you still there? I think we lost Nick. Did we lose Nick? Yeah, I think that, yeah, we lost Nick. All right, we're going to get some stuff fixed up here because Aaron Kendrick is going to be joining us. He had some technical difficulties. We will come back. We will talk TNA pay-per-view. Yeah, we will discuss that. We'll discuss a whole bunch more. We'll be right back here on OWW Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Nigel McGuinness, and you're listening to OWW Wanker.
Jeff Hardy went to SummerSlam. He was looking to make some cash. He was in a bind because he's way behind. Vince wouldn't let him smoke a stash. And he came upon this young man that he thought could take his spot. And Hardy jumped up on a turnbuckle and he said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I bet you didn't know it, but I smoke dope by the batch. And if you turn heel, we'll make a deal and I will throw this match. Now, being a wrestling champion, boy, is pretty good, it's true. But I'd rather sit on my ass, smoke some grass, and give this belt to you." The boy said, "My name's Punk, and I'd say I agree. I'll take your belt. I've always felt the straight edge lasts for me. A CM, you can't help it. Jeff is missing chromosomes. He's going back to Georgia and his burn-up mobile home. And if you win, you get this shiny belt made of gold. And when Jeff loses, he gets to smoke a bowl." Hardy put on his makeup and he said, "I'll start the show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he cleaned resin from his bowl. Then Punk came out and all the crowd made an evil hiss. Then Jeff recited poetry and it sounded
like this. That was quite possibly one of the funniest things I have ever heard. Welcome back to OWW Radio, episode number 50. I'm Alan Wojcik, that's Nick Anthony, and joining us from the Hubble Space Telescope is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Aaron Kendrick. Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, I feel like I about had to go through a Hubble telescope to get here, but...
Well, you made it. We're very happy to have you here. 888-357-9876, option 1. If you are the telephone type, or if you're a Skyper like us, you can Sir Rockin', and he is the uber super duper cool producer tonight, who sat with me and the rest of the WTR kids and watched what was another interesting pay-per-view from TNA. This past Sunday was the Sacrifice event, where I guess I should have taken that bet because Rob Van... crap, I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, damn! Yeah, that dude kept the belt after Ric Flair was booted and sat with the ring crew and sat with Tanay and Taz, which was actually very entertaining commentary. I almost want Flair to be like a Bruno Sammartino type where he can use that knowledge he's got and sit with Tanay or Taz or Jim Ross if that ever happens. And then he tried to help his boy again, and AJ lost again. It was weird, guys, because you had a couple matches that you've already seen, like the opening match. We sat through Motor City Machine Guns, Team 3D, Beer Money for I think it was almost like the third time in 3 weeks, and I know Ink was in there, guys. And believe me, we'll get to them in a second because they faced. We kind of teased it last week, but we didn't give it away. That we've got new TNA World Tag Team Champions, and no, it's not Inc. It's Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Showtime Eric Young using the Freebird rule or demolition rule for WWE fans, where they can swap whoever goes in there and defends the belts. You also have a brand new, well, I can't really say brand new X Division champion, guys, because Douglas Williams walked in with the belt and left, well, with the belt. He defeated Kazarian or Kaz or whatever they're calling Frankie these days. They're not calling him Suicide anymore, so. Big Rob did leave with the Global Championship, defeating Orlando Jones, but he got his knee nearly destroyed on the title belt. Madison Rain in her first singles title defense. And she has defended the belt. That's the funny part, Aaron. That belt has been defended, but it's been defended in six-man matches and tag matches. So this was her first one-on-one, and she did what everybody knew was coming. We knew Lisa Verone was future-endeavored by herself because of contract issues with TNA. The Sting-Jeff Jarrett match never really happened unless you want to consider Sting dragging Jeff Jarrett around the impact zone from one end to another, bloodying him up, ripping his shoulder out of the socket. So I'm sure that unless something happens differently, and we're going to discuss Impact in a few minutes here. And we had a sort of a difference of exchange of property, so to speak, and this got brought up on WTR the other night, that apparently you and TNA, slavery does exist. And it's not the kind of slavery that you learn in the history books. It's apparently where I can lose a match and my girlfriend or manager or valet is now the property of Abyss. That's right. Nigel McGuinness, now known as Desmond Wolfe, lost to the monster Abyss. So apparently this Thursday on Impact, boys, we're going to have some sort of exchange where, is it 30 days she's stuck with Abyss? I think
I think it's 30 days.
It was just a really weird pay-per-view where you wanted to have these great matches on paper, and some of them were. Kaz Doug Williams on paper was a really great match, but until Spug and Mace brought it up, and they're both trained wrestlers, sitting there watching the match, and they both said, is it our imagination, or does it look like when it's a ground match, Doug Williams looks great? But as soon as Kazarian sped it up, Doug Williams looked like he was a block back trying to catch the person stealing his wife's purse. And that's not a slap to Doug Williams. He's a tremendous talent. But it just looked like a major contrast in styles, and both of them really tried to correct it. And the main event, I'm going to give praise to the main event like crazy. RVD AJ Styles for pay-per-view was phenomenal. No pun intended. Because they both made each other look like $1 million. Now, whether AJ gets another shot at the belt, that's obviously to find out in the next couple impacts. Because as we found out, guys, and Nick was the one that kind of brought this up in notes, they're doing, I believe it's three tapings or four. They're taping everything to get to Slammiversary last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. So you're going to have your four, you know, hopefully nobody got hurt last night or tonight or whenever else the next taping is.
Yeah.
And the worst part was they did what they used to do to mess with people like me who would go there and do the results. They filmed everything out of order. So you have no idea what we're going to watch this Thursday.
This is what bothers me, is the burnout of your talent. That's and the fan base itself, the burnout of anybody who's in the attendance.
Oh, that
crowd. Dude, they're tired of cheering the same thing over and over, especially if they do retakes.
Yeah, and that crowd was toast. After some of those matches that night, you could see the crowd was toast visually and mentally. And that's happened. I mean, this isn't the first time they've done this, because I've been there at events where they film, usually it was around the New Year's, Christmas. They did an afternoon taping where they did the confetti dropping. Then they left, took it out of the building. We sat in the Universal for a couple hours. And then, oh, by the way, you're back again. So I hope nobody gets hurt. Knock wood, pray with a rosary. Nobody gets
hurt.
And you know
what else? It's going to, the talent itself is going to get burnt out, because they're not giving their 100% anymore, are they? Just think about it. They just put on, in some people's opinions, a good match the first time around, and then they're coming back up maybe an hour later or whatever to do it again. We're not going to get their 100% every time.
You
never know. We're put in these situations where we're getting crappy matches now. I don't think it's a good idea for TNA.
Well, this isn't the first time they've done budget cuts, because it was a while back, and I don't know how far back Aaron goes with watching TNA. I mean, he can chime in with it if he wants. I remember back, I covered TNA back to when they were on Fox Sports, where they did it was Friday 4 o'clock the show aired. So they were doing tapings, like one taping, and that was it, and they tape a couple matches for Impact, and then Dusty Rhodes got into the creative area, and Dusty's like, oh, enough of this coming down here every week stuff. Because at first they were doing the Wednesday night pay-per-view in Nashville, and then the crew was flying down to do, literally that morning, they would fly Thursday, do Impact, and then leave and go wherever. So Dusty was one of the people that said, you know what, let's start doing these double tapings. We'll save on hotel. We'll save on a bunch of flights. We don't have to fly every single person down here like WCW used to do, where they would bring the entire talent roster, which I remember stories from people that worked for there. There was like 100 people. Scott Hudson said there was something like they'd bring 100 people to TV and use 30 of them, but you had 100 people sitting backstage. So, I mean, there's rumors already, and we're going to move into that for a second. I will move away from pay-per-view. which this could result with a pay-per-view. There's apparently rumor-cutting stuff going around, Aaron. Now, Aaron, I don't know. Did you watch the pay-per-view with us? Because I don't remember you being on the chat.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to see the pay-per-view.
Okay. Well, apparently there's some cost cutting going on. The first casualty, believe it or not, of all people, Aaron, and Nick needed to step away for a second. So if you're wondering, everybody, where'd Nick go? He stepped away for a second. The first casualty of all this, believe it or not, was TNA ring announcer Dave Penzer. Now, I don't understand how you get rid of Dave Penzer, because Dave lives, if I remember right, from when I went to Slammiversary in Nashville, on my flight coming back to Tampa was, at the time, TNA star Gail Kim and also Dave Penzer. So it wasn't like you were flying Dave Penzer in from, you know, Saskatoon or, you know, Kuala Lumpur. The guy was getting in his car and driving over. And we noticed it during the opening. It's like, hey, look at that. Borash is doing it. And it was kind of pretty cool because it took us back to the weekly pay-per-view feel. Now, apparently, there's some cost-cutting going on. Now, as they're cutting costs, they just signed someone. The girl whose stage name in the indies named Betsy Ruth, I think her name is Mary Kate Dunnigan. I could be wrong on that, and I'm sorry if it is. Her name came up recently, Aaron, because we talked about it. She injured Daphne in a dark match at TNA. And I guess that's a way you get signed. And also being a member of the Team 3D Academy doesn't hurt. So you lost Tara, Lisa Verone, whatever you want to call her. I don't even call her Tara anymore because I think they own the rights to it. You've lost pretty much your whole women's division that can wrestle and isn't Silicone or Bleachy Blondie. And now here comes rumors of, let me make sure I get all these names right, Charlie Haas, his wife Jackie Gata Haas, Maria Canales, Shelton Benjamin, supposedly Hurricane, Gregory, Shane, whatever you want to call them, Helms. My question to you, Aaron, is what the heck are they doing in bringing all these people in? And I'm sure Nick will be upset that I'm supposedly bashing TNA, which I don't think I am here, because I want to see good quality matches. And believe me, and fans know it from meeting me at events. I hate saying that TNA is doing bad, because I want TNA to do good. Aaron wants TNA to do good. Everyone on the WTR roster wants TNA to do good. But is this good for TNA to bring these guys in when the talent roster you already have is pretty damn good?
Yeah, and I was looking through the cutback thread in the forum, and somebody put up there, it looks like signing all those former jobbers at high wages was a bad idea after all. You can't really put it any better way than that right there. I mean, all they have done is go around and hire a bunch of the people who couldn't make it in the WWE, and, you know, they try and bring them in with these high-dollar contracts, and you just can't do that because it's going to come back around.
And why I've said this before, why bring in talent? I understand the whole name recognition thing, especially someone like Rob Van Dam or Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
They're great name recognition. And it wasn't like, and people seem to have forgot that, oh yeah, Jeff was there for a while. Jeff came in 2004 and left to go right back to WWE. And he had a pretty good TNA run. Never got the world belt, but hey, that wasn't meant to be. I mean, we're supposed to be talking about how, as the staff of OWW, we would go about budgeting TNA. I'm going to let Aaron take this first, because my answer is really simple, but I'm going to let him go first, because that's what a co-host does. So the floor is yours, young man. You have been signed to be the booker, runner, showrunner, whatever you want to call it, for TNA Wrestling. How do you fix the bleeding that's going on?
There's no place that you can actually start, because there's so much as of late. First thing I would do is get Bischoff and Hogan out of control. I think that was about the dumbest thing they've ever done. And, you know, Vince Russo. I wouldn't let Vince Russo back in his spot backstage. And as far as the tapings go, I don't know where to start with the tapings. I'm just not a business person, but.
Well, you made some good points there, and if you think he's wrong, you think we're wrong, 888-357-9876 is the way to join us, option one. Or is like Nick or Scott or Aaron and I are doing. You can Skype Sir Rockin' and get in on this conversation about the TNA stuff. And one of the biggest things that we found, at least I found when I was covering TNA wrestling, was some of the stuff these guys get. And I'm not even talking about the top talent. Because for a while, everybody stayed literally across the road in a very nice double tree. If you've ever been to Universal Studios and you've come out into the International Drive area, there's a two-tower hotel. That's the Doubletree. Everyone on the TNA roster at one point stayed in that hotel. And then when Dusty started doing his cost-cutting thing, they would say, okay, we're going to pay for your travel, baby, but you got to find your own place to sleep. So the boys started staying at a sleep inn. They started staying all over the place. And it leaked. I guess it leaked in 2008, and I don't know if Rockin' or Nick or anyone can clarify this, because we found something that some of these guys, like at the, when he was here, Christian Cage, like Kurt Angle, like I think it was Sting, yeah, they're pulling six-figure salaries. They're pulling high six-figure salaries. They were also apparently getting first-class airfare to wherever their house show or pay-per-view were out of town.
Yeah, and you know what pisses me off is this Christy Hemme chick. I don't understand why on earth she's getting what she's getting. I don't understand this at all. She's not even doing anything.
Well, she physically can't. That's the sad part. She's like a lot of wrestlers. She's like April Hunter. She's in. I guess the name recognition, the Playboy thing, I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to try to defend her or justify her, because they went through a whole, they had Lauren as a backstage person. They had another local Orlando girl doing it for a while. They had SoCal Val for a little while doing it, but no Val.
How can they afford these prices at TNA? This is back in 2008 what we have here. But how can they afford this back then? How can they afford it now? When they're they're giving away these Universal tickets, aren't they?
Yep, you do not pay to go in to watch TNA wrestling, and TNA does not get a cut of your two-park annual pass or any kind of ticketing with them. They're a quote-unquote attraction to
AJ Styles. AJ Styles, $115,000.
He's worth more than that. WWE offered him more than that a while back.
Alex Shelley, $82,000. Wow.
Which back in the day, that was a tag team. That was the price of a tag team in the old NWA in the 80s. So, and you got to remember, you know, cost of living and this and that. And the thing is, some of these guys, Nick and Aaron, some of them were on pay per visit or roster visits. They weren't on a straight salary. So if I was working, I had every time that I physically appeared on the show, I got paid. If I was brought down there and not put on Impact or the Explosion show, which is syndicated all over but the United States, I didn't get paid. So I flew my butt to Florida to sit there, watch the show. All right, cool. I'm not doing anything. Awesome. Great. I flew all the way here and probably lost a day of regular work. I'm not going to say some of the names that I know that did have regular jobs outside of wrestling, but some of them did. Some of them were office people or technical people. Hey, everybody knows that Shane Douglas, while he worked for WCW, was a full-time teacher in Pennsylvania. So it's hard.
Shark Boy got $70,000?
Yeah, and that's not even including the money he got out of Robert Rodriguez.
Shark Boy?
Yeah. While we're discussing budget stuff, many people say he is a cause of the budget problem, namely Hulk Hogan. We're not going to bash Hulk here for a second, because first off, he had a really, if you watch the syndicated TV show, The Wendy Williams Show, which I'm not going to do a Wendy Williams impression, Hogan was on pubbing his book, and it was some interesting stuff. I'm probably going to try to get a copy of the book just from listening to him talk to Wendy, and according to TMZ.com, he apparently had a heart scare this past week following tests for back surgery revealed what doctors thought would be an abnormality in his heart. His doctor for the back surgery, send him back to Florida to see a cardiovascular doctor to check an EKG. Now, after more extensive tests, it was decided that Hogan's heart is fine and has no problems, but according to sources who talked with the website, Hogan was very worried until the final results came in, and apparently he is undergoing a back procedure of some kind. So, hopefully he does recover, and I'm one of those people, I grew up watching Hogan, Flair, and everything, so I get the nostalgia feel of having the two of them on the show. But it's a little weird when you're told that he's not going to be as ridiculous a presence as, unfortunately, he has turned into. I have no problem with him being the director of authority, which, believe me, TNA has had plenty of them. Eric Watts was one, Don Callis, Dusty Rhodes, Vince Russo. I think my friend LaVonda Bell in Nashville was one. I think Corsica Joe was one. You need one particular person, and I dig the storyline with him and Russo, Bischoff. I got my names mixed up, sorry. Of, well, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge, sweet. I'm in charge. I don't know.
Well, so, here's the problem with what I'm thinking with Hogan, and his role would be more believable if he, and I've said it before, if he dressed the part. He doesn't look like any authority figure when he comes out in jeans and a t-shirt.
So you want him in a suit and tie like Jack's Honey back in the day, or how do
absolutely
you want him dressed?
Absolutely. More of an authority figure if he dresses up in a suit or at least a blazer, you know?
What do you think of that, Aaron? Do you think Hogan would look more intimidating dressed like Ric Flair?
Not at all.
So he looks more intimidating in the bandana and the shirt, brother.
Well, I remember in WCW when Hogan was playing a role like he was running for president, and he would come out dressed up in suits, and it didn't work then. So I don't know why people would take it seriously now.
Because he's in this role as to running this promotion, right? What promotion? Yeah. What promotion have you ever seen that someone's coming out in a t-shirt and jeans?
Mick Foley did it when he was working with Jarrett. Foley was the majority shareholder.
Yeah, but
was
it believable? And plus, he was a in-ring talent at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, but apparently it seems like Hogan can just walk out whenever he wants and go, that's right, I'm not retired anymore, brother. I'm just out here to start laying people out with punches. Which, I mean, it works, it doesn't work. You know, the other funny thing to come out of this week, quite possibly one of the most, I forgot to mention it because we talked about it on WTR, and if you listen to that, thank you very much for supporting every show on the WTR network. Ken Anderson definitely gets the award, unless something happens between now and the end of the year, of Best Pre-Match Promo. He had quite possibly the best. I know we can't play it on the air here because it's got profanity like nobody's business. But if you can YouTube search that thing, fans, or catch the replay of that show,
if he had some wrestling ability, he would actually be a breakout star, in my opinion. But he just sucks in the ring. But he's great on the mic, kind of like The Miz.
Is that true, Rockin'? They really got a new shirt already for him going? Oh, apparently I'm not 100% sure on that. The way the match ended was he lost to Hardy and then went to do like the Code of Honor type handshake.
Oh, wow.
And Jeff refused. So it's like Jeff was kind of like, wait a minute here. I don't trust you. I want to shake your hand, brother. But I don't know. As a microphone talent, he's one of the best in the business.
Yep.
Currently now.
Currently,
I'm not saying all time. Because it's hard to compare him to what
but
he does.
But it also...
Flair, Rock, Austin. It's kind of hard to compare him to all of those guys.
It also reflects on the current viewership of TNA. Because these guys are morons. Did you hear what they were chanting?
I loved it,
but they're dumb. You live in Florida, man, so
I was sitting there back in the day, and it makes me sound like an old timer. I remember back in the day. back to the this chant, and then the Hoyta Maniacs in the front row.
Florida has to have the dumbest people in the world.
Itself, they've always fancied themselves as an ECW-like crowd. And when Anderson cut the promo, where he basically called himself, oh, yeah, I guess I can say this, I'm going to go for it. If I am, I'm wrong, whatever. He said that I'm an asshole, and all my fans are assholes. And next thing you know, everyone in the front couple rows is chanting, we are assholes. I'm like, okay. I got my kids in bed, because she'd be walking up to me going, Daddy, what's an asshole? And I'm like, the guy in the ring. 888-357-9876-1.
And everybody who likes him, I suppose. Everybody who's a part of that fan base. So dumb.
Well, it's one of those situations that they don't like Hardy, so who else are they going to cheer for in that match is probably what it is. That's how I got to look at it. What are you thinking, Aaron? Are you thinking, yeah, Kennedy really is an asshole? Oh, sorry, Anderson. Anderson, can't call him Kennedy. That's a lawsuit. Or are you sitting there going, yeah, I can't stand Hardy either. Call him. Everybody's an asshole in this situation.
Well, it's just a case of to each his own, I guess, because the fans are really picky. I mean, it sounded kind of like they were all for Hardy on Impact last week, so I don't know what could have changed between now and Sunday, but, you know, I guess it's just, yeah, one of them things. I don't know. Maybe they just liked his promo and decided that he was the good guy now.
Well, maybe they're going to turn him into like a Stone Cold Steve Austin where he doesn't really change his colors. He's still a jerk, but they'll cheer for him. And apparently we found out the Pope, is this right about the Pope, that the Pope D'Angelo De Niro is targeted to return after Slammiversary, possibly for the July pay-per-view, which used to be Hard Justice. I think they may have changed the name on it, or the Victory Road. They move the pay-per-views around so damn much. I hope the Pope D'Angelo De Niro comes back. Apparently, Kurt Angle was backstage last night at the pay-per-view and possibly re-debuting on TV in the next few weeks. So,
well, I thought he took like 30 days off or something, didn't he?
Took time off to go open up his food eatery in Pittsburgh and sell his food items, which...
Yeah, he's like fiber and less salt or something like that. I don't know.
He's doing whatever he can do. God bless him. For a guy who wrestled in the Olympics with a broken neck and can still keep going the way that he keeps going, you know, he can do whatever he wants. The guy can't do anything wrong. Every time the guy hits the ring, it's amazing.
Any news on Six-Pack? Six-Pack? X-Pac?
Apparently, I don't know if he's been given time off or he's been released. I've heard different stories. I don't know if Aaron has seen anything online either. Yeah, apparently Rockin' is saying he was gone, but apparently he was backstage the previous weeks with Scott Hall.
Really?
I guess his excuse of, you know, I talked to Dixie said it's fine, man.
So how much is he getting paid?
I think he was on an appearance basis also for that deal. I don't think he was salaried out yet. I'm not sure if Hall and Nash are the same way, because I know Scott Hall does live in the Orlando area, because he does some indie dates over there for a promotion called I Believe in Wrestling, and I think he shows up at Vintage every so often, and he does that. He does this little YouTube thing called Last Call with Scott Hall, which if you can ever find it on YouTube, it's interesting. It's not the greatest in the world, but it's interesting.
So who's up next for the TNA cutbacks to be in the Future Endeavors Club? Who's up next? Who are the big spenders? Are the big money makers over there? Hogan, obviously Bischoff.
I'm sure Sting's pulling.
Flair, Sting, yeah. So who's next?
Who knows? And that's the problem: is do you stay loyal to the talent that brought you to the dance, that got you to the point that got you? So you're going to kill off everyone who is there.
Everyone.
So you're telling me I'm a TNA hater and I want to keep everyone that got me to the dance and goes into the ring every night and has five-star matches and you want to run them off and bring in WWE guys?
No, I'm not saying bring in all the ex-WWE guys, but I'm Bischoff had an interview a couple of weeks back on another radio show, and he mentioned that all these old guys that are still out there who can wrestle, guys like RVD and you know, the Nasty Boys, let's use them as an example. They can still throw down somewhat. There's fan loyalty to those guys. Those guys are going to bring in attendance, don't you think?
No.
Why the no? What do you mean no?
Because
Rob Van Dam doesn't have a fan base?
You can't put Nobbs and Sags in the same class as a Rob Van Dam because they came walking in with their walkers backstage. Yeah. They had no bit. They were there like Bubba was there. They were there because Hogan got them in the door. And so you'd rather have
those guys
than AJ Styles, who's been there since day one.
I was using him as
James
an example.
James Storm, who's been there since day one, who's busted his ass, fallen off cages, been slammed on cages, bled for the company. You'd rather tell all these guys.
No, I would take them over Rob Terry, though.
Mike Alex Shelley, who gave up.
Sure, Eric Young. You bet I'll take them over Eric Young. You better believe these guys
that have been loyal to the company for years. Sorry, brother. We're bringing in former WWE people. Loyalty
can't advance the company, dude. Sorry. Loyalty cannot advance the company. You need money. You need attendance. You need people who can bring in that attendance. And loyalty ain't doing it. Eric Young is not doing it. Rob Terry's not doing it. Sorry. Rob Van Dam can't. Possibly a Nasty Boys can.
Obviously not.
Because they have that name recognition, don't they? They have that name recognition. People going to say, oh, Nasty Boys are there. All right, I'm going. People say, oh, Jay Lethal's there. Oh, well, yeah, he's there. Okay. They're great talents. I'm not saying they aren't, but they're not going to bring in the attendance. Option 1, 888-357-9876, or radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. You agree with me, or you agree with Alan? I'm saying that TNA's loyal, as Alan brought it in, who stayed with the company throughout the years, they haven't done anything for TNA. They haven't brought the attendance up. They haven't brought their money. We're seeing cutbacks left and right, aren't we? What have they done for TNA? Of course, you can say the same thing about the old guys. Well, they haven't done anything yet, but we're still new. End of the first hour here at OWW Radio. Come back with more second hour. Paul London's going to join us. Nick Allen and Aaron, OWW Radio. Right back.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Harvey Whippleman on my OWW Radio. Tune in.
And we wish we can get our hands on you and the four horsemen to take control of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
I don't know any but Jesus. I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... Alright, I haven't had a beer yet, it's 5 to 11, this is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio, and now, Nick Anthony.
Eight 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 357 9976. Welcome back to second hour of OWW Radio. And if you're tuning in, you're going, what do you mean second hour? You didn't read our press release, man. You fired. Go to back of line. You don't come in no more. No soup. All the other cliches. I'm Allologic. That's Nick Anthony. That's Aaron Kendrick. Second hour. We're in third hour. Dig this, man. If you didn't read our releases, come closer to the microphone. Paul London's here, man. Former WWE superstar, former ROH superstar, current Dragon Gate USA star. If you were at their event this past weekend, you saw him and Spanky Leonardo, whatever Brian Kendrick calls himself these days. They tagged, man. They've done a shoot interview stoned. I mean, what else could you possibly want? And in case you tune in also, this is still the coolest thing I ever think of, that this is the 50th episode of OWW Radio.
Dude,
and
I'm thinking...
You and Aaron have been here longer than me, so yeah. Reminisce, please.
Aaron wanted to share something. I don't know. He's been chomping at the bit there.
Speak, please.
I heard you going over your favorite times earlier, and you know, I remember the first time I was on OWW. It was last year in February, whenever you had Jimmy Valiant. That was my first time to be on the show. And I remember just, like, it was the neatest thing ever because I'd never done anything like that before. And
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I remember you and Dave did an Owen Hart tribute show. And then after that, something happened and you didn't have a show for, I guess, a month, 2 months. And in July, it was episode 14, and we came back, and it was me, you, and Dave for the first time hosting the show, and that was just the neatest thing. And, it just has not been the same ever since Dave left, and wherever Dave is, we hope he's listening, and hope everything's doing good with him.
For those of you guys who don't know who Dave Cave is, Caveman was a member of OWW Genesis, who was one of the original voices of OWW Radio, as well as myself and Daniel, the Truth on Genesis. But Dave had to go away, not to prison, but one of his sons had a problem, and he had to step back from radio, and he's been gone ever since. Moving on from that, one of my favorite moments on OWW Radio was when J.J. Dillon, he came on the air. I was working with the Angels at the time, and I couldn't do the interview because I had other things to do with the Angels, and I had Dave, I believe Daniel, the Truth. They did the interview while I was, you know, at the ballpark with the Angels. And I came back, and one of the managers was actually listening to Dave and Daniel do the interview with J.J. Dillon. And I thought for sure that, you know, I was about to get in trouble or, you know, get written up there by the Angels. But no, it was pretty cool. He actually listened to the whole interview, and it was impressed with Dave and Daniel doing the interview. And he was telling me about how he was a wrestling fan, and I remember it to this day because I could have swore I was going to get released right then and there by having these two guys do an interview there at the station with the Angels. But it's all water under the bridge now, and it's something I will forever remember.
It's kind of strange, but one of my favorite times from doing the show is whenever me and you had the sidekick.
Oh, the sidekick, Jackie. Oh, that was. Oh, you want to play that right now or what? What, you guys want to do that now? No, should we do that now? You want to hold it? All right, we'll wait. Oh no, let's do it now. Let's do it now. Hey, we had a sidekick on. It was Halloween, and we wanted to do something different for, you know, wrestling fans.
Everybody was
doing
pretty
the
different.
Same thing. Yeah, everybody was doing the same things, basically, doing Halloween Havoc with WCW and gimmicks from WWE that revolved around The Undertaker, Kane, and, you know, things like that. We decided to get a psychic on and talk about different wrestlers who had passed away. We're basically going to do a seance on the air. And this is what it sounded like, Rock. It's the Jackie one, Jackie Murray, or Marie, whatever her last name was. We got to get her back on, too. Well, let's do that every Halloween. Let's do that. You weren't with us then. But it was,
he's the founder of the top promotion in professional wrestling. It's the WWE. I'm talking about Vince McMahon Sr. He's the father of Vince McMahon Jr. What is he telling you, or what can you tell us about Vince McMahon Sr., about the current state of professional wrestling, what it is now compared to what it was when he had it, and what does he think of his son and the business today? today.
I've got one after this.
Well, my first thought here is that he wants something revamped. He wants something redone. He wants something modified. More than anything else, a senseless injury. Senseless. It doesn't have to be that way, you know? I don't know. Somebody Harry or Howard or Harold or H, first or last name, disappointed that man. Who is the H?
Oh.
Or don't you know?
I don't know. He's disappointed at someone with the letter H in his name. Vince McMahon Sr. is disappointed with somebody with the name with the letter H in its name.
Yeah, and like Harry or Howard or it's an H. Anyway,
sure wouldn't be Howard Finkel.
No.
It could be.
I was thinking Triple H maybe, but
probably.
No. But something that, you know, senseless injuries.
A senseless injury.
Yeah.
Owen Hart.
Ooh. Well,
but he died, and it didn't have to be. He did something stupid.
What did he do?
But they made him do it.
They made him do it.
What?
Talk
to me, guys.
He was we're doing our own show here, forgetting Jackie. Okay. He was doing this gimmick as Blue Blazer. And they lowered him down from the rafters into the ring. The cable snapped.
Oh,
yeah, the cable snapped, and he went free-falling.
And he died, right?
And he
the
died,
ring.
Yeah. And his last name is Hart. Well,
that's it, then. Senseless injury. That's what I got.
Huh.
And that would definitely, in my mind, be a senseless injury.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because he should have never been up there.
Uh-huh.
He hated heights to begin with. But if he didn't do the stunt, then they would have fired him.
Yeah.
Well, you see, those are the things that people go through for fame and glory.
And you're saying that he wants the business to be revamped, modified.
Yeah, those kind of crap don't happen.
Yeah.
Boy, it's starting to get me angry. I feel his anger. I just feel that man's anger.
Is it anger over his son or the entire business? A professional.
Everything. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. And if he comes back into the reality of this kind of a life ever again, it would never be the way it was. I think he would come back as an ice skater.
Vince McMahon as an ice skater?
You don't know now, do you?
No. Okay, one more for
that
you.
In my mind, actually.
Yeah. One more for you, Jackie. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. I don't know if you saw these articles on TV or anything a few years ago, but there was a case with another wrestler called Chris Benoit.
No.
Oh, you didn't? All right.
Yeah.
Well, he died back in 2007. Is there anything that you're getting from that name, Chris Benoit?
Well, the only thing I get is that person wanted out.
No kidding.
That person did not want their controller, their manager, or whatever. He wanted out. That's what I'm getting very strong.
He wanted out of life, or he wanted out of wrestling? What?
Out of wrestling. Or out of agreement with his manager, controller, or whatever.
What about family?
Wait just a second. There's a... somebody with a Italian, like a Dominique, or Dominic, or a D.
What was his son's name?
I'm thinking his name was that.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, either way, they're just happy to be away from it.
It's actually, you want me to tell you the story of what actually happened to him?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. They do a thing in wrestling now called the draft, where they take somebody and put them on a certain show, and he got put on a lower rated show, and he wasn't happy with it.
That might be it. Okay, go ahead.
And not long after that, they found him, his son, and his wife dead in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really had any proof towards it, but they said that he killed his wife and his son, and he killed himself.
Not true.
Were you getting anything like that?
Not true. He did not kill anybody.
I knew it.
He did not. No, this had something to do with a manager or a controller or somebody who was really angry, PO'd, because he wasn't cooperating.
Even with
Chris
the...
wasn't cooperating?
Right.
What about the signs of him having steroids and the drugs in his system?
Yeah.
Well, that may be true. I'm not coming in on that. And I'll never say I get something if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is he did not kill his wife. He did not kill his son or himself. No, somebody else did.
There's actually been theories that his wife was married to a man called Kevin Sullivan. And they had kind of a nasty divorce, and there's actually been theories that he killed them because beside every, like, all the bodies, there was a Bible, and Kevin Sullivan has actually been called an atheist before.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Do you think there's any truth to that?
All I know is this man does not deserve to be labeled killer. Chris, he does not deserve that label. And by the way, I'll tell you something else I'm getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's darn glad you brought it up.
Well, I've been saying ever since the day that happened that I didn't think he had anything to do with these deaths.
Yeah.
I just never thought that someone like him who...
I'm still skeptical about it, Aaron, though, because with all the drugs in his body, and things like that, he just went off. I don't know what to think.
That is not necessarily true. Drugs react differently on different people. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I don't care what the circumstance, you know. You could have a guy hanging there from his neck on a rope,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like he hung himself, and maybe he didn't, you know. Maybe somebody else put him up there.
They found Chris's body hanging from... He was hanging. It wasn't by a rope, but he was hanging.
Uh-huh. But I'm telling you, he didn't do that himself. Now, that's up to you. Look, when I'm asked what is or what was, I can only give my answer the way I give it. Because I don't debate it.
Right.
I give it to you the way it got to me. And he's very, very grateful you're bringing it up.
Wow. Jackie Marie, the Daily Psychic, here on OWW Radio.
All right, that was Jackie Marie. We did that show last year during Halloween, Aaron and I. She brought up some interesting points that really made you think. We talked about Captain Lou Albano, Vince McMahon Sr., and, of course, Chris Benoit, as you just heard. You still
and
believe
Owen
the same
Hart.
Way? And Owen Hart, yeah, that's right. We talked about Owen Hart. Do you still believe the same way or think the same way about the Chris Benoit thing, Aaron?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, sometimes you get a funny feeling that what they say isn't really true. And since that story came out, there was something about it that just did not seem right to me. And I'm not the person to say that he did do all that, but... You know, you just get that gut feeling that there's something more to it than they're talking about, and there's never actually been real proof that he did do it. So, you know,
We got to get Jackie back on again with Alan. Maybe we can do some more seance and get you guys some psychic readings live on the air with Jackie Marie. Hey, we'll take a break. Come back with the WWE pay-per-view Over the Limit. You like the name of that pay-per-view? I don't think it's a gimmick pay-per-view either. We'll talk about it. On the other side of this break, it's OWW Radio, 888-357-9876. Don't forget, Paul London's coming up here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? one site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This Saturday night, we will have a very special edition of CB Radio. Come check it out as I make my return to the show for this very special evening. Why is it so special? Well, I'm on it, that's why. Well, wait. There's something else, too. What was that? Oh yeah, it's Rock's birthday. You just can't tell him. It's supposed to be a surprise. I've got the drinks covered. Rob's bringing the strippers. All you have to do is find a gift and come party with us here on CB Radio. This Saturday, midnight-ish, at wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, this is Claudio Castagnoli, and you're listening to OWW Radio.
Yeah. Oh, only rapper to rewrite history without a pen. No ID on the track, let the story begin. Begin, hold up. This ain't a number one record. This is practically assault with a deadly weapon. I made it just for flex, and Mr. C, I want people to feel threatened. Stop your black crying.
All right, 888-357-9876, option one, radio at online, worldofwrestling.com, over the limit. I find this title to be kind of ironic, because the WWE's with this PG rating, and then they name this pay-per-view Over the Limit, which when I think of...
I think it's an action movie, man.
Well, when I think of it, I think of, well, they're drinking, you're over the limit, you're, you know, that .08 or whatever the legal limit to drink or to drive is. I'm thinking all that.
I'm thinking John Cena is over the limit, coming soon from WWE Studios. That's what it sounds like, man. And the poster's not anything spectacular either, but hey, the artwork never is.
John Cena versus Batista in an I Quit match for the WWE Championship. Batista earned this title rematch after beating Randy Orton and Sheamus in a number one contenders match. John Cena and Batista competed in a beat the clock challenge to determine who would have said over what time type of match it would be. John Cena won the challenge and chose this match. John Cena also stipulated that this would be the final shot for Batista, and that if he lost, he would forfeit his championship rematch clause. This marks the fourth straight pay-per-view where these men will be fighting each other for the title. So, snorefest. What do you think?
Well, let's just call it what it is. It's Dave Batista's last night in WWE, and he's going to do the job to put over Marky Mark like he should. If you're leaving the company, you do the job. You thank everybody backstage, you pack your bags, you go. That's what this is. They're trying to make Cena look Superman invincible.
Is that confirmed that he's leaving?
It's been storylined like crazy outside of the business. It's the biggest rumor in the world. So
this is what I heard. This is what I heard from an inside source that I can't reveal, who actually talked with Dave. He's, everybody was pretty upset that Shawn Michaels left WWE, but he for sure took it really hard. And he's saying the business is just not the same.
Getting a movie role that you were promised taken away from you doesn't exactly help matters either, man.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, he really liked that match, Aaron. Were you like Nick going, I don't even want to watch this match?
No,
well, yeah, I mean, I've never wanted to watch a Batista-John Cena match, and I'm not going to watch it. So I'd just rather go watch Rob Van Dam and AJ Styles, honestly.
Oh, while we're running the card.
So everyone's in agreement that Batista's going to pretty much lay down for Cena in this match?
If he doesn't, it'll be the biggest shock of the decade.
All right.
Which is almost up, or starting.
And World Heavyweight... Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead with the next
World,
match.
World Heavyweight Championship, Jack Swagger versus The Big Show. But being drafted to SmackDown a few weeks ago, Big Show was immediately declared the number one contender for the title. Big Show knocked out several of the WWE superstars with one punch. One of those men was Jack Swagger. What do you say?
If Big Show takes this, it's another big shock. Why build Swagger all this way up and give him these matches all this high profile just so he can job to the Big Show? I'd like to see him keep it at least till SummerSlam, build this. If you're going to build a Big Show, with you know, other than I knock everybody out, I would build the SummerSlam and then put the belt on Show.
This is what I don't like about this match. Well, number one, it's being a championship, and Big Show might win it. Big Show is not used properly. He's not used as a big man. So when I see a Big Show fight a Rey Mysterio, and Big Show's not dominating the match, Mysterio is, that pisses me off. And then next thing we know, we have a Rey Mysterio as a champion over a big man who should be standing tall and beating the crap out of everybody like an Andre the Giant. They're not using him properly. And this is what I see that's going to happen should Big Show become champion. Again, over Jack Swagger. Aaron?
I don't want to see it happen, but at this point, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. You know, Jack Swagger, if they're going to put the belt on him, then they need to make something out of it. And so, you know, that's my view on it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope they keep the belt on Swagger because I think they can go somewhere with Swagger if they give it time.
Who are you picking, Alan?
I'm going with Swagger. I'd like to see Jack keep the belt a little while longer. And if you're not going to build Show, it gives you till SummerSlam to get somebody else there, be it Kofi Kingston or Cody Rhodes or anyone, Christian, whoever.
Randy Orton versus Edge. On the night he was drafted to Raw, Edge made an immediate impact when he interfered in a previously mentioned number one contenders match. He gave Randy Orton the spear that allowed Batista to win the match. The two men have a history together. A few years ago, they formed Rated RKO and feuded with D-Generation X. What do you say, Alan?
This one's the trickiest match of the entire show to go with. And I'm only saying that because even last night, obviously it was in Canada, so of course Edge is going to get the babyface pop that a Canadian deserves.
Right.
I'm still not buying the Randy Orton babyface turn because he's doing basically a Steve Austin type setup. I'm still going to do my heel stuff, and I'm the viper or the anaconda or the whatever that. He's the keep covering teddy bear. Deal with it. I put Edge over this just as I want us like with the Swagger Big Show. I'd like to see a couple matches out of this series, so. Why not let the heel get the win the first round out and then go into your next couple of interviews? I'm going to take Edge.
Aaron?
I was kind of agreeing with what Alan was saying right there, but I think that they're going to... Here's my prediction. I think Orton's going to go in, win the match, and then Edge is going to come out and say, you know, we're not done yet. And he's going to basically try and get him into another match and... That's how I think it's going to play out. I don't think they're going to put Edge over him because then, you know, what would Edge have left to do with Orton? And so I think they're going to have Orton win, make it like Orton trying to move on, but Edge comes out and tries to get another match or whatever. So I think I'm going with Orton.
This is going to be possibly, well, in my opinion, one of the best matches on the card. Probably only followed behind the Hart Dynasty and Chris Jericho and The Miz. But these two guys are two of my favorites in the WWE, Randy Orton and Edge, just because they both can talk on the mic and wrestle. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to this match. I'm going to go with Randy Orton on it, though, because I see an Edge-Christian feud brewing. And once Edge's Randy Orton's out of the picture for Edge, I think they can focus on Edge and Christian more, which I think that's where the money is with the WWE at this point. Edge and Christian, I see. So I'm picking Randy Orton in this match. Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. Here's the rules of the match. If Rey wins, then CM Punk will be forced to shave his head. If CM Punk wins, then Rey Mysterio will be forced to join the Straight Edge Society. And it was at WrestleMania 26 that Rey beat Punk, and as a result, wasn't forced to join the Straight Edge Society. Extreme Rules, Punk beat Rey, and as a result, he didn't have to shave his head. Now, in the rubber match of the feud, one of the men will be forced to do what they previously were able to avoid have happening to them. Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. Alan?
These matches have been very entertaining. They have. Despite Rey being, in wrestling years, a couple hundred years old, having had more knee surgeries than I think Kevin Nash, possibly. I think you could get a little more money out of Ray Ray joining the society than Punk shaving his head.
I agree.
You could do a couple situations of, it also depends on Ray's health, because he's had knee problems. I think he went into WrestleMania with knee problems. And you'll see, I remember, it wasn't really well publicized, but the WWE Genesis people know about it. He wanted to be a part of a AAA promotion in Mexico. He was doing some sort of Rey Mysterio tribute. I don't know if it was for him or Rey Mysterio Sr. And the Fed pulled the rope on him, saying, no, you can't do that. So maybe he decides, yeah, I'm going to lose, and I'm going to take some time off and get my knee, so screw you. We both seem to be in agreement here. I'd like to see Punk win this. Who knows if he's going to. I go with Punk.
Aaron?
Well, it is a tough one because, you know, they were doing the run-in thing, and, you know, I don't see him taking Ray to win this match or to lose this match and join the society, because with that, I mean, there's not much you can do, but I can see maybe Ray winning the match and maybe being in the process of shaving Punk's head, and then we get the run in and we finally find out who it is. And so I think I'm going to go with Ray to win.
It's Ray's daughter. That's who's under the hood, man. We're breaking news right now. It's Rey Mysterio's daughter under the hood. Look how tall he is compared to the kid. It's the daughter.
You know what's striking to me is the CM Punk Straight Edge Society and the WWE putting every baby face they have against this guy who is just trying to keep, you know, drugs out of the kid's hands. Does this make any sense to anybody? He's just putting his views and opinions out there to stay off of drugs. And yet the WWE is putting every baby face that they have. And let me mention this as well. Was it ever confirmed that Rey Mysterio, or did Rey Mysterio ever provide his attorney or his doctor's statement saying that he had prescription for those drugs that he had and got suspended for? Did he ever get that?
I'm not sure on that one.
I'm going Punk here.
I'd like to see it, but then again, we're not one of the 20 writers a part of their company, so who knows what they got planned, man.
Unified Tag Team Championship. The Hart Dynasty versus Chris Jericho and The Miz. Chris Jericho and The Miz earned the title shot when Chris pinned Smith in a singles match on Monday Night Raw. Aaron?
This one's hard to call to because, you know, you got the Dynasty who just won the belts, and now here they are. We're seeing talks about maybe a Danielson and Miz feud. It's just hard to call because you don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm gonna go with what I want to see happen. I want to see the Dynasty keep the belts because I think they're the most deserving tag team right now, and so I hope they can keep the belts.
Alan,
it's got to be the Hearts, and as Aaron hinted, I'd like to see Bryan Danielson re-debut because his shoot promo on NXT was top notch after he was eliminated, and you just see it screaming, I'm going to screw the Miz, I'm going to screw the Miz. That's what's coming. Y2J and Mizanin are an interesting tag team, but it's another situation going back to Swagger. Keep the belts on the Hearts for a little while longer. Let them build their rep as tag champs, and that way, after they lose the belts, they still have the marker of, hey, they held the belts. Someone like Sheamus, who... No matter what, he's still on the paper books as I'm a champ.
Not only the rep of the Hart Dynasty, but putting some prestige back into the tag title of the WWE. I think keeping the belts on the Dynasty for a while allows that to happen. I'm picking the Hart Dynasty as well as everybody else here on WWE Radio. All right. Intercontinental Championship, Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston. A week after Drew was stripped of the title, Kofi thought he won the title by beating Christian at the tournament final for the vacant title. However, Drew McIntyre came to the ring with a note signed by McMahon that overruled Teddy Long's decision to strip him of the title. And as a result, Drew was reinstated as the champion. Aaron?
Right here, I'm seeing great things in the future for Drew McIntyre because I'm pretty sure he's the first ever Irish-born Intercontinental Champion or Scottish-born, but you know, I think since he's come back to the WWE, I remember he was doing his old Scottish gimmick or whatever, but then he went away and came back. Ever since he came back with this Chosen One gimmick, it has been the greatest thing I've seen in a long time, and right now, I got to go with Drew McIntyre because I think he's going to stick around for a long time as the Intercontinental Champion. Maybe bring back some prestige to that belt.
Alan?
Drew McIntyre keeps it. He's doing the Chris Jericho gimmick from back in the day where, oh, wait, I lost the belt. Hold on. WCW rule number 2002-G, paragraph C. That's what this is, and it works great. Build some heat for Drew as if he didn't have it. Kofi's already so over, he doesn't need a championship. It would be nice to see him get one, but I like
over.
To see Drew build. He's over. He hit the ring, and the crowd goes frickin' nuts. The guy, he's like the Rock. He doesn't need a belt. Just let Kofi go out there and hit the Trouble in Paradise, and they go nuts. So I go with McIntyre.
Is that being over or just supplying something that's different?
What, in the terms of Kofi?
Yeah. I don't.
He gets the Road Warrior pop when he hits the ramp. He doesn't even have to make it into the ring. It's that the kid's got everything that you would want in a star. And I saw it when he was here in FCW back in 2007. The kid is so over, he doesn't need a belt. And this hopefully will be a great match like it looks on paper.
I'm going Drew McIntyre as well, using the Aaron defense. Picking Drew McIntyre. Kofi Kingston being over, well, yeah, he's over, but I don't think it's anything special with Kofi. I think he's overrated, if anything. I just cannot back a Kofi Kingston because I don't think he brings anything other than the Lucha Libre style flying around the ring, which I don't see as wrestling, period. Ted DiBiase versus R-Truth. When Ted offered the Truth the spot as his new Virgil, Truth responded by slapping him in the face. Virgil was the manservant. Was he the manservant of Ted DiBiase? I thought he was more like a bodyguard.
He was.
He was the manservant? He's both. Virgil will be in Ted's corner during the match. Ted DiBiase versus R-Truth. Aaron?
This one I gotta go with Ted because they're trying their best to build up Ted DiBiase right now, and I just gotta say that with the little thing that they played with Ted and Truth a couple weeks ago, that was the most entertaining thing I've seen in a long time, and for them to come out last night with the actual Virgil, it was just almost like a comedy segment, but either way, I think it can turn out good for Ted.
Alan, what's up?
I go with Teddy. I'm digging him as the heel. It stinks that the Fortunate Sons situation, which we'll address in a few minutes when we run WWE news, it might not happen for a little while. I've been a big fan of Ted since he was down here in FCW, and you could just see the look at what happened at WrestleMania. The crowd went with him. He took the crowd in his hand, and of him and Cody, he was so good as the heel. And there were stories going around that after the Marine 2 came out, they wanted to turn him face. And I go, why turn this kid face? He's so got this oozing charisma of, I'm an asshole, and you're going to love me for it. And yeah, it stinks he's rehashing the Million Dollar Man, but who cares? The kid's over. He's awesome. I go with Teddy.
I think this fits him. You said it's a rehash of the Million Dollar Man, but it's him. You know, I don't see anything wrong with this rehash of the Million Dollar Man. He's the Million Dollar Boy. Keep this storyline going. Have it become another Nature Boy or what have you. Have it keep going. Have this gimmick keep going and just pass it down. I'm going Ted DiBiase. He has more to gain in the WWE, or the WWE has more to gain in Ted DiBiase than having him win this match over R-Truth. Divas Championship. Does anybody care?
No.
Eve Torres versus Maryse. Eve won the title a few weeks ago. Since then, both women have did some sneak attacks on each other and separate backstage altercations. Aaron?
Well, I just got to go with the champion on this one because they're trying to build her up. And, you know, they had the belt on Maryse for a long time, and I think they're just trying to do something new. So I got to go with the champion.
Okay, Alan.
I didn't even know about this match until you just mentioned it, because that's how fast that brain. I watched Raw last night at about 1:30 in the morning, and as soon as they weren't wrestling, I wasn't listening. So, I'll go with the champ too. I think Maryse is very, very talented as a heel, but they need to build her up. They need to build up Eve and let her get a couple more victories before they do anything.
Yeah, in my opinion, I can care less who wins this match, because I will not be watching it. That's the Over the Limit pay-per-view for the WWE. It's this Sunday. I don't know what the time it is. Check your local listings. We'll take a break. Come back with more OWW Radio right here. WTR, Wild Talk Radio Networks, 888-357-9876. Option 1, radio, and online, worldofwrestling.com.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince
McMahon,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes the place where anything goes.
Prepare to be Sinful, Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
(888) 357-9876 option one. We are fans of Purple One, the Tab Cap, whatever that short dude is from Minneapolis. He's awesome. That movie was awesome too back in the day. But hey, we're gonna talk current news here on OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kendrick, Scott, our producer, the Almighty Nick Anthony is back with us. Sir Rockin is also here with us. In a few minutes, the man, the myth, the God himself, Paul London, will be joining us. We're going to get into some quick WWE news. If you're a fan of Beth Phoenix, you'll be glad to know that she underwent successful surgery this morning with the man who could fix anybody's legs or knees or whatever, Dr. James Andrews. She injured her – she had a torn ACL, and that's why you have a new champion in the WWE. According to her Twitter, and we're going to address Twitter in a second, she said, "All done." They said – they used extra parts from RoboCop's knee surgery and spare tissue from a Liger. It felt great. And she'll be rehabbing the next couple of months. Speaking of injury, we kind of mentioned before about Teddy DiBiase and the Fortunate Son situation. His brother, Brett, has been down in FCW for the last few months. And he's unfortunately on the shelf right now. He's supposed to go in for knee surgery and will be out for several months. That there was apparently going to be another second generation like Click, like the Legacy, where it was supposed to be Brett, his brother, and the son of the late Mr. Perfect and grandson of Larry the Axe, Joe Henning. And with Brett out of commission, there's been talk of putting Carlito and Primo Colon in the stable, but that hasn't actually happened yet. So we wish both Brett and Beth Phoenix the best in getting back to their situation. Apparently there was a story going around. I don't know if Aaron or Rockin or anybody can confirm that. Apparently this past weekend, John Morrison at a couple house shows was injured wrestling. I believe it was Vladimir Kozlov. Let's try that name. We can't confirm or deny that this is a legit injury or not, because we haven't seen any notes from the SmackDown taping tonight. So hopefully it's not a big injury. Now, we've got an OWW account with the Twitter that I believe Corey Morrow, our producer, runs. And apparently WWE is getting really big into the Twitter. This came from WrestlingInc.com and some other sites out there, that the word came down at the top this week for the WWE to get more involved with the Twitter. And the plan is, this is pretty interesting, to have the talent use it more and push it more on TV. And if you've been watching NXT lately, all the NXT talent have Twitter accounts and they're posted on the thing. The idea that the creative wants to do is that the talents are supposed to tweet stuff to promote their storylines. They really don't want so much of the personal stuff about the WWE talent being posted on the social network. Now, I'm not hip to the Twitter or tweeting or twanging or whatever it is, but Aaron's of that generation. Is this a good thing? Or Nick can chime in, too, because I don't know if he twangs or tweet. What is the proper term? Is it twitting, tweeting?
Yeah. I don't know, because I don't do that.
You don't do it. So none of the kids in your school are into it?
Not really.
What
actually,
about you?
No.
No,
you
I don't know.
Better or whatever?
No, quite frankly, I don't even know how to get into our tweet or Twitter page, dude. That's I don't even know how.
Yeah, Cord, box this out, man. Oh, they're tweeting. Thank you, Sir Rock.
Twats? It's not twats. That's not right.
He's hip to the lingo there.
You can't
now,
say
we
twats.
We mentioned Jeff Hardy earlier in our rundown of the TNA event. Now, according to the Melts, the legendary Dave Meltzer, that this is a story that surprised didn't come out earlier about Jeff Hardy. And maybe it's coming out now because his court date got moved around again. And apparently WWE's last unofficial order offer to Jeff Hardy before he went to TNA had a $750,000 downside. Now, for fans that aren't hip to the lingo, downside means that if I get hurt, I will make $750,000. That's it. Because talent gets more money added on for merchandise, DVDs, that kind of royalty. If I work a pay-per-view, I get more money. If I'm on WrestleMania, I get more money. If I'm in the WrestleMania main event, I really get a lot more money.
Right.
Now, this is also interesting, guys. He would have only worked 65 dates a year, giving him the biggest break on the schedule out of any of the WWE superstars, including Shawn Michaels, including The Undertaker.
Undertaker, yep.
Now, obviously, he turned the deal down as he was upset that nobody backed him on his recent drug arrests, and he was also upset that the Straight Edge Society leader and Straight Edger CM Punk apparently cut promos on him after he left the company. And the feeling was that Hardy wasn't with the company at the time, and the promos from Punk weren't business as they weren't used to build a match. It's believed that Hardy would have been a lock for the TNA World title if Rob Van Dam and a little court date didn't happen. I mean, are you buying this story, guys? Are you buying that? Or is this just smoke screening and spin?
I'm absolutely buying it because Jeff Hardy, and just like Gregory Helms and Paul London, I think we talked about it in the meeting, that these guys have cult followings, man. And WWE realized it when Jeff Hardy came back to the promotion. I mean, these people go where Jeff Hardy goes. I mean, they'll still watch, but I mean, they'll buy this guy's merchandise. If it was littered with profanity all over it, I mean they'll just buy, and the WWE realized this, and they were going to offer him the world 65 days a year. Are you crazy? $750,000 downside.
I'll take it in a heartbeat. Where do I sign for that?
I mean, what does Undertaker work now? Undertaker hardly works at all. What is he?
I was stunned. I mean, I don't know. Did you watch the show last night, Aaron? Because I was stunned when he came out.
Yeah, I watched most of it. I didn't really catch whenever Taker came out, but I caught a glimpse of it.
Yeah, that blew my socks off. Like, oh, crap, Taker's here. Cool. And as of right now, that's all we've got for the WWE news.
When I saw Undertaker hit the screen, I'm thinking, well, we're about to get a good match here with him and Edge again. But Edge backed out of it. They weren't going to show us Undertaker for free, I guess. They'll give us Edge and Christian for free, but not the Undertaker. We're not going to get the Undertaker. No way. Jim Ross closing down his barbecue stand. You see that?
Oh, forgot about that. That was something that showed up today. If you got it in front of you, definitely read that. That was a surprise.
Yeah, let's see. Let me open it up here. Apparently, the economy hit.
Mean awesome barbecue sauce.
I never had it. They had it at the CAC in Vegas this year. Nobody cracked it open at the table I was sitting at, but he supplied everybody with every table. I don't know who got it. Maybe Jason Dedrich grabbed it. I don't know. This is from Roger.com. Jim Ross announced on Sunday he is closing his barbecue restaurant, JR's Family Barbecue, in Norman, Oklahoma. He will, however, continue to sell barbecue products online and in select grocery stores. Quote, at the end of the day, our business plan could not handle the shift in the economy or the rising overhead that we encountered, Ross wrote. We make no excuses. In the upcoming weeks, my professional schedule is likely to change significantly. I realize that there is only so much that I can pile on my plate, so perhaps this unfortunate turn of events is a blessing in disguise, end of quote. Ross had at one point planned to franchise his restaurant nationwide, but it never came to be. He closed his restaurant in Moore, Oklahoma, a while back. So Jim Ross closing his JR's Family Barbecue restaurants now. The economy, huh? Hurting everybody.
Apparently, I may be hurting Mickey James and Batista. Scott just found this one online. Don't expect them to be getting any offers from TNA. The rumor around the office is that they feel they are set when it comes to, quote-unquote, use your mini-me quotes, name talent, and that they need to take a step back and focus on the talent they do have. Now, I don't think there was any rumor going around of Batista doing that. I thought I heard Batista was more the I want to follow The Rock and Cena to be an action star.
Well, this is what I just got in from, I told you my inside source that I can't name, but Batista wants MMA.
Really? That's interesting.
He wants to go on the road of Brock Lesnar. I don't see it. He seems too soft for me, in my opinion, but
I don't think it would last because of the drug testing policies.
That's true.
How strict are their policies? I'm not an MMA person, so how strict a policy does Dana White and whoever runs MMA UFC have? Tested for? Does anybody
I'm not too bright on all the MMA testing, but
I'm sure they do it.
Yeah, because I remember seeing one of the last fights Ken Shamrock was supposed to have. He got suspended right before the fight because of a drug test.
888-357-9876, option 1, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. What do you think about Batista in mixed martial arts, MMA? We'll take your phone calls and your emails at 888-357-9876, option 1, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Guess what? Paul London is up next. Paul London! For crying out loud. Get your questions ready. He'll take your phone calls. 888-357-9876, option 1. This is OWW Radio. Nick, Alan, Aaron. We'll be right back.
Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Robert Allen.
And Pam Allen.
And you're listening
to OWW Radio.
ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
I don't know any but Jesus. I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, all right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
It is OWW Radio. Online, worldofwrestling.com, WTR. Wild Talk Radio Network. Nick Anthony, Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kidrick. The third hour of our three-hour special is 50 shows we've done with OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. One of the shows that we did, we had a encounter with Johnny C. You guys remember Johnny C from Wrestlicious? What a show that
Alan,
was.
Alan's favorite experience.
Alan stopped talking. He's done. He's like, I'm not
Alan,
even talking.
Alan just hung up on us.
I'm out of here. I don't want to talk to this guy. I went down to the CAC and I was telling Deadridge, the owner of Online, about the whole incident. And he was like, why didn't you guys tell me? Why do you, cause you know, Jason's with, Chick Fight. And he's like, why didn't you guys tell me? I'm like, dude, I emailed you 2 weeks before the show started. But I guess he was busy with the CAC. But anyway, here's a clip of Wrestlicious. Johnny C came on, and we're basically asking. It was that first show. The first show came out, and we couldn't understand what was going on. Johnny C came on to explain it to us. Here's the clip.
Is that 97% of the country takes wrestling as a joke?
Johnny, let me stop you right there. Because okay. That's the problem. That's the problem that we face.
Right.
We know that
right.
90%, if not, you know, more, know that
right.
Wrestling is a joke. And then when they turn on Wrestlicious, they see it more of a joke, Johnny. That's the problem we have.
Okay, and here's what we have. Our show is not going for that. Our audience is not the wrestling fan. Our audience is the television fan. The same guy that's going to watch any number of programs, not necessarily wrestling. And I think that the general public is comfortable watching a show like this than a show where they feel like they're a diehard wrestling fan.
You're not going to
the general public.
You're not going to get a general public fan
You're going out to the fan, aren't you? We did that at Glow. We had more viewers than Vince had when we did Glow. We did do that, and I think we can do it again. We did have the Glow fan was not a wrestling fan. The Glow fan was a casual fan. Go ahead, I'm sorry. But I wanted to make that point.
Well, where's Glow now? I mean, WrestleLicious could be that way right now. Granted, you got a Powerball money winner who's running the show. Or I mean, what involvement does Jimmy Hart have in the booking, and how much do you have involved in the booking of the show?
Jimmy Hart and I and Steve Blantz, the head writer from Glow, basically run WrestleLicious. Now, we run by things by Jay Vargas to see, you know, what his input is, but 90% of the time he says himself, all he does is just nod and tell us to go ahead. Now, another thing I want to make clear is Jay Vargas, we are going for a young male demographic, you know, between 18 and 35. We felt it was our idea to put Jay Vargas in the show, not his. We talked him into it. He wasn't even very happy about it. But we felt that he represents our demographic. It would be good to have him on the show. And we did that after the show was already financed and everything else. So what I'm saying is that the perception is that he wanted to put himself in the show, and that's why he, you know, invested it. That's nowhere near the truth. That was our decision, and that was our advice, is for him to be in the show, not him.
As I said before, and this is a question that's in the chat room, if 97% of the population says wrestling is a joke, as you brought up, why present the product that plays to that stereotype?
What I'm saying is, you guys aren't listening.
I'm absolutely listening.
We're trying to get a broader audience than just the wrestling fan. And you guys, you know, and I understand that.
If the broader audience is against the product, who the hell's going to be watching?
Exactly.
I'm not saying the broader audience is against. I'm saying that our viewer will watch us, but not necessarily watch TNA or the WWE. That's what I'm saying.
So are you trying to get an audience broader than the wrestling fan? Sitcom that says, well, is chicks wrestling, that's the sitcom type thing? Is that what you're trying to get with an action comedy? Because if I got the choice of an action comedy, I'm not watching your product, because there's so many DVR shows out there, and you're on a network that, unless you have HD or something, you're not, you know, I got to search through 500,000 channels to find you guys. And the reviews, and I'm sure it'll change, you'll find them. If the reviews are making this to be the biggest car wreck in wrestling history, what's out there to make fans tune in when they can watch WWE, TNA, Shimmer, WSU, where the women are being treated in a different light? Now, I'm not saying backstage you're not treating them in a different light, but from what
I know... Yeah, you ask them how they were treated backstage. I mean, you know, and I think you'll find... Okay, but go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care how they're treated backstage. It's your product. Do what you want. I'm not a booker or a promoter. I'm just someone who's covered the business for 10 years.
Here's what I do, because I don't want to just come on and beat you guys up. I want to watch WrestleLicious. I want to back Jay. I want to back you guys. I love the idea. But why can't we do this real? I mean, we got these wrestlers who were trained by legendary figures, and you're just making a mockery of it in a lot of people's opinion. I know you guys want to go down the genre of action comedy, but I hate to say it's real to a lot of people, but it is. It's real to a lot of people.
Where did you come out that we're making a mockery? I don't understand that.
When you put in laugh tracks, that's number one. That's making a mockery of it. You got laugh tracks running through the whole program.
Now, wait a minute. You've never heard a laugh track during the course of a match. The matches that we have are with trained professionals, which is not what we did at Glow. We made that change, but we have trained, respected professionals that are doing the matches. Am I right or wrong?
But you see the perception you get when you don't run the proper programming at the top of the hour and you go with jokes and things like that? We never get to those matches.
All right, let me ask
you. Can you skip ahead on your... I mean, of course you can get to the matches, but go ahead.
Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, let me ask this. All right, you guys say that you really don't want it to be known as a wrestling product for the diehard wrestling fans. All right.
No, I just said that I'm well aware that the diehard wrestling fan is not going to is not going to embrace this. I'm well aware of it.
Well,
and we never hoped for that.
Well, if so, then why is wrestle in your name? Why is there a wrestling ring? Why are there trained professional wrestlers? Why is there a cornball commentator?
Why is there a cornball commentator?
Yeah.
As opposed to what? As opposed to Taz, who talks about carpet munching?
Good one.
I'm saying that's a general wrestling rule. You got to have a cornball commentator. Why is there all that?
Right.
If it's not going to appeal to the average wrestling fan.
I guess, okay, again.
And that's why we're the number one wrestling radio show with an action comedy theme, folks.
Yeah. That was a great show. I love that show. Watching you storm off was pretty cool, too.
It was Alan's favorite show.
You know, another great show that we had was Johnny Devine.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why'd you say that, Alan?
Because I can.
Wait, you got something against me and Johnny Devine?
I'm not talking. It's your show, remember?
So, okay. Hey,
you made it perfectly clear that night that it was your show, not ours.
Well, okay, first of all, he told me to shut up on my own show.
Because
and I wasn't going to... I ran him over. No, he ran me over. What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, he ran you over, you ran him over, everybody was
okay,
wrong.
So,
Play the damn clip while we try to find our guest.
So now you're upset with me because I apparently ran over Johnny Devine, your friend, when he actually ran me over. Right? Everybody came down on me that day, from the producers all the way to you. And I did something wrong. When he told me to shut up, I've never been told to shut up on my own show, whether terrestrial or on internet. I was not going to have it. Here's the clip.
She works on some Smack. She's been in some SmackDown matches before TJ and Harry got brought up. She was working some singles.
Rarely.
She was the girl that they went to shine up all of the bunnies. You know, if you needed a girl to make a model look great, who did you get her to work with? Natty.
Yeah.
Big time.
Exactly. Because when I saw her...
That's a huge compliment to Natty. You know, a lot of people don't think that's a huge...
But is it doing anything for her career, though, Johnny?
Well, she's paid, isn't she?
Well, she's getting paid.
She lives the life of a wrestler 24/7, and she's gainfully employed. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Why does everybody seem to have this mentality that everybody needs to be pushed all the time? Well, if you're not getting a push, well, what are you doing there? Well, I'm learning and loving what I do. But if you
want to get remembered, though, as a in the business as doing something, you got to get out there and do something, right?
Is that what you watch wrestling for? Is so that you'll see somebody you'll remember?
Actually.
No, but I would think that the professional wrestlers want to get remembered. They want to, you know, go down in history.
No, they want to get paid and be healthy and live a long, happy life wrestling.
Is that where professional wrestling is with the athletes of today? Is that where it is for today?
Well,
I even hear John Cena talking about it's for the passion, and the guys of old in the golden era and the circus tents days, whatever you have. They're talking about passion and how they do it for the business. They're not talking about money.
I do it for the business absolutely as well as everybody else. Anybody who gets into wrestling, for the most part, unless they were a bodybuilder beforehand, is in it because they love wrestling. Do you want to make a living at wrestling? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Does that require being paid? So, be quiet and let me fucking make my point. If you want to get paid and be a professional wrestler, you do what you're fucking told.
All right.
So if your job is to go out there...
Shut
up, goddammit!
Let him talk,
man. If your job is to go out there and shine somebody up, you go out there and do the best fucking job you can do. Whether or not you appreciate your spot is completely irrelevant to the fact that you are one of the few people on the planet making a living at professional wrestling. We are compared to every other major sport in the world, bottom line. And we are the only one that's held to a different standard. And so for us to actually get a job, it's five times harder than it is to get a job in the NFL because there are five times fewer spots.
All
so
right.
Every wrestler who has a spot is happy and thankful to be getting gainfully paid.
All right.
Okay, hold on.
Now,
hold on.
No,
everybody,
no,
hold
no,
a second.
No, no,
hold
no,
a second.
No,
let's go back to the caller because he said he had another question.
No,
so let him
no,
talk.
No, 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 no. My turn. My show. I talk. My turn. Thank you. You just told me, and I let me reiterate, when I talk to professional wrestlers of old, they all say they do it for the business. When I talk to Danny Hodge, it was all for the business. So I'm not putting you in this category. I didn't say you were out for the money, dude. So you
no,
can get
no,
on
no,
the phone. Wait, no. Let me talk. I gave you the forum. Let me have the forum now. When I talk to a Danny Hodge, when I talk to the old timers, and they say they did it for the passion, you guys have lost your way. So you can
so
go on.
So my wanting to start a family and being able to pay for the food
yeah,
on the table is irrelevant.
I understand that.
Well,
that's new generation.
If you knew what I got paid at TNA, you would understand that I do it for the business.
$50,000.
And I'm not saying that you don't. I'm one of your biggest
fans.
I'm saying guys that are out there now, they're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, what I'm telling you though is a push doesn't mean anything. If you're a wrestler and you work hard, your push will come. So for Natty to be putting over anybody at this point, it's not doing anything for her career. Absolutely it is. She's gainfully employed. That's doing something great for her career.
Okay, let me ask you about Bob Holly for all those years.
15 years. Natty could be someone that could be down the road the next Divas champ. She's a worker, and I'm talking Nick now because I got to see her here in Tampa at FCW. And Johnny was one of the people, when I told him that I was covering FCW, he said, dude, first thing you got to do is you got to introduce yourself to TJ, Harry, and Natty. Tell them that you're friends with me. And I got to watch her week after week. He brought up the model thing. I got to watch her work the Bella Twins, Alicia Fox, all these girls. And I just sat there, and somebody asked me, so what do you think of her? I said, she's a mechanic, dude. Holy God. And how she's not brought up to the main roster now, I have no idea. And I'm happy to see her on. And if she's being the manager to the Hart Dynasty, fine. If she's being managed, if she's going to get pushed to the moon, fine. I got to go with Johnny on this one. She's there. We're not. 888-357-9876. Option 2 is the way to get on.
Wait, what happened to Mike's second question?
Yeah, are you
what happened to
Mike
in his second
go
question?
Go ahead and ask him one.
I'm still here.
Sorry, Mike.
Nah, it's cool. Actually, you said half of the stuff I wanted to say to Nick anyway.
Yeah, beat Nick up. Beat Nick up. Everybody loves to beat Nick up. From the producers to Alan to Spug on WTR. Everybody. Johnny Devine, for crying out loud. Don't understand it. You missed that show? You missed a great show. You got to listen to the whole show of OWW Radio every week. 888-357-9876, option 1. We're taking your phone calls next. Paul London, we're still waiting on him. 888-357-9876, option 1, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Come back right after this.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one heard it.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Worry about changing that dial, because you're already tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mace, and if you're hearing my voice right now, then you are tuned in to one of the great programs right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you're hearing my voice and you're not listening to a program here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, then damn, you got Superman-like hearing.
All right. TNA, Hogan, and Bischoff came on the scene making headwaves, right? But everyone's still putting them down left and right. WWE's ratings still strong as ever, yet the lesser of the two wrestling-wise, minus last night, Monday Night Raw. It's my question. TNA or the WWE at this stage of the game? Minus the cutbacks and minus who's in the promotion and who may be leaving the promotion of TNA. TNA or WWE at this stage? Aaron and Alan? What do you guys think? What do you guys say? I'm definitely going TNA. WWE adds nothing or has nothing for me anymore. There's no wrestling. The gimmicks are stale.
I don't know. Every now and then, WWE pulls out a couple of good wrestling matches. I mean, last night, me and you were on the phone last night watching Edge and Christian. We were getting pretty excited watching that match, wouldn't we? I mean, they had some really good spots. And, you know, but, you know, you do say there's not all that much interest anymore in WWE. TNA comes out most of the time. Not really lately, but TNA comes out most of the time and is entertaining. And puts on good wrestling matches. I mean, just look, Rob Van Dam and AJ Styles. So,
well, let me add this in here, with the growing excitement over UFC, we can add UFC in the picture as well. Mixed martial arts. TNA, WWE, or UFC, and realize this. I don't watch Monday Night Raw. You guys know about my boycott there. I don't watch NXT, that's for sure. And I don't watch Raw, and I don't watch SmackDown. Rarely I watch SmackDown. I read a lot. The pay-per-views I watch, because basically that's, if you watch the pay-per-views, you'll see what's happening throughout the weeks. That's where everything boils down to, does it not? So that's all I watch. Why waste my time Mondays and Fridays? With TNA, I watch. Because it's more exciting, more entertaining, more wrestling, storylines I can get behind. WWE, I don't see that. What do you think, Alan?
So you can get behind a WWE former talent member spilling milk on his chest, that's entertaining to you. As opposed to watching the matches that we've seen the last couple weeks on WWE TV.
No, I'm not saying that that particular segment
and
is entertaining
having
for me.
No,
but
logic whatsoever with Samoa Joe being thrown into a
it's
van.
It's more realistic. It's
and,
more realistic than
anything
on WWE. And
then he comes back and acts like nothing frickin' happened.
It's more entertaining and it's more realistic than anything they're showing over on WWE, Alan. So what's entertaining over at WWE for you?
Well, you don't frickin' know because you're not watching the damn show.
All right, then tell me.
How can you be a part of a wrestling radio show and not watch the damn product? I'm
done. All right, tell me. Tell me what.
Your show. Run your show.
Tell me what's entertaining on WWE. If it was entertaining, obviously I'd be watching. They're not reaching me, right? Doesn't that make sense? They left my demographic a long time ago, so it's not reaching me. So be the WWE spokesperson for a minute, Mr. Wojcik, and get me to watch WWE. Explain
Why?
It to me.
Your show, your opinion's the only opinion that matters. You made that clear for many days on this show. Run your show like you want.
Okay, tell me when I said that. Of course it's my show. It's all of our shows. It's anybody's listening show.
Right, whatever you say.
You can't, can you? You can't portray WWE, or you can't convey it to me. Teach me WWE right now, in a minute. Tell me what WWE is about in a minute. Get me to watch WWE again. You can't do it.
A 3.4 ratings doing, okay, put TNA's .5. Explain the .5. Explain .5.
Because the freaking WWE fans now are freaking kids who watch this promotion. That's why.
We were kids
once
too. They
don't understand
WWE.
They don't know what good wrestling is. That's why.
So Orlando Jordan pouring milk all over his chest is good wrestling. Bringing in two has-been old men like Nasty Boys to
pickle
and bury every single tag team that had credibility in TNA is good, solid, entertaining wrestling.
You keep going back to Orlando Jordan, or what about Goldust? Okay, Orlando Jordan, that's part of his gimmick. That's part of the storyline.
That's part of his life. He really is bisexual. Dustin Rhodes is not bisexual.
No, and that's part of life, isn't it? That's part of reality. We don't have people like that out here. So you saying you got a problem with it? That lifestyle bothers you? It's part of reality. It's realistic. WWE isn't realistic.
Orlando Jordan's lifestyle.
No blood in a fight, that's realistic. Yeah, sure.
Last time I checked, wrestling is suspending your belief.
Yeah.
And you don't want fans to suspend their belief. You want to have guys from the 80s who have no business being there taking away spots from guys who busted their ass everywhere, falling off stuff, breaking their heads. You know, you'd rather watch guys who have no business being in a wrestling ring.
Why do you say they have no business? Didn't they bring you?
So a 60-year-old Hulk Hogan, who I got to see at a movie theater here in Tampa, Florida, who can't even walk from the bathroom to the ring without needing knee braces. That's
he's not even wrestling, dude. He's not even wrestling.
We're still at the end of the lockdown pay-per-view. They basically said to everyone in that ring, You're not important. It's Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. They're
Hogan
the important
draws.
So Hogan drew a .5. Wow. I so
they're
want
building, to watch. Dude, they're building the promotion. It's going to take time. Who brought you in the who brought you?
At all, so the previous 7.5 years of TNA wrestling don't amount to jack crap because
nobody
Hogan
said
and Bischoff are going to save everything.
Who brought you to watch wrestling?
Not Hulk Hogan.
Who brought you to watch wrestling?
Yeah,
simple
no,
question, for crying out loud. Can you not answer that question? Who brought you to watch wrestling?
Here's a great way to answer the question.
888-357-9876, option one. Be right back.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling films today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This Saturday night, we will have a very special edition of CB Radio. Come check it out as I make my return to the show for this very special evening. Why is it so special? Well, I'm on it, that's why. Well, wait. There's something else, too. What was that? Oh yeah, it's Rock's birthday. You just can't tell him. It's supposed to be a surprise. I've got the drinks covered. Rob's bringing the strippers. All you have to do is find a gift and come party with us here on CB Radio. This Saturday, midnight-ish, at wildtalkradio.com.
Yes, this is Rick the Model Martel, and you are listening to OWW Radio.
So, what am I not supposed to have an opinion? Should I keep quiet just because I'm a woman? Call me a bitch because I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I start to smile. When a female fires back, don't
leave me talking, don't know how to act. 888-357-9876. Option 1, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. It's a telephone number. I'm saying that TNA is way better promotion than WWE right now. Yeah, WWE's on top of the world. The number one promotion in the world, but nah. Not wrestling-wise. No, sir. Not in my opinion. Alan is saying, well, TNA certainly is not. What are your opinions on it? 888-357-9876, option one. Very heated debate. I don't understand how Alan can say, well, Hogan can't walk, let alone wrestle. And he wants me to, say nothing realistic about WWE or TNA. But then he goes back to Hogan not being able to walk and wrestle. Come on, dude. I asked him who he grew up watching. He couldn't give me. He couldn't give me an answer. Can you give me an answer now, Alan?
This isn't Alan.
I know it's not Alan.
But I can give you an answer on who I watched.
888-357-9876, option one, Spugs on the line. What's up, dude?
Now, I can give you an answer as to who I watched. Yes, I grew up watching Hogan and Macho Man and Ric Flair and all those guys.
All right, but now, wait a minute. With saying that, don't you like watching Hogan return to the screen every once in a while? You don't?
Nope.
Okay, explain.
Not one bit. Because Hogan has proven when he helped kill off an entire company. I didn't say he was the sole reason. I said helped. He has proven that he is an egomaniac. He has proven that he is an egomaniac throughout the years. I, for one, do not like the fact that when you bring on somebody who the stature of Hogan and the stature of Eric Bischoff, immediately you have to force them onto the screen and force them down people's throats because your way of getting people to come to your program hasn't worked. You're essentially trying to use Hogan for his name to get people to come into TNA.
Well, is that a bad thing? It's about making money, right? It's about making money now. It's not about the passion, dedication to the business. It's about the money, right? Isn't that what Johnny Devine said a couple of weeks back? Is that right, Alan? Is that what he said? So wouldn't you want that retro name? You want that feel? You want that to get people through the turnstiles? Wouldn't you want that?
You want the name recognition, yes. You want the ability to put that name on the marquee and have people come in instantaneously.
Okay.
But, there's an all-important caveat to that. That name is what draws people in. The rest of your product is what keeps them there. And unfortunately for TNA, the staples of what they had that set them apart from WWE are slowly dwindling away. They at one point had the best tag team division in any walk of wrestling. They don't anymore. They had the best women's wrestling. Not porn stars with tit jobs smacking each other about. They had women's wrestlers, which a lot of people actually do enjoy. They don't have that anymore. They don't have that anymore. You have, let's look at your top five guys in your company right now. Okay? Sting.
Yeah.
Over the age of 40. Hogan, over the age of 50. Nash, over the age of 40. Ric Flair, over the age of 60. Hall, over the age of 40. Where's the young guys in that?
Oh, they're there. Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam.
Jeff Hardy's going to jail. And
I wouldn't consider RVD young.
There's Scott. Scott, our producer, is joining us here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Scott?
How you doing, Spug?
Not bad, man. How you been?
I feel like crap, but I still felt it was important to call in.
There you go.
RVD is not a spring chicken, yes, and neither is AJ Styles. But you had golden opportunities to with Samoa Joe there, with Christopher Daniels there, with AJ Styles there, you have RVD. You could have done tons and tons and tons of things with Kennedy and all of these guys. Now that you have Hogan and Bischoff, Kennedy may be injury prone, but that dude is absolute money with a microphone in his hands.
Yeah, but what can he do wrestling wise?
He's average wrestling wise, and that's the majority of people coming out of school today.
Yeah, so what's wrong with having the old guys showing them up?
Because you come to a point when if all you have is old guys, you don't have anything to keep the viewers there. If I know, I can tune in. If I know I can tune into TNA on a Thursday night at 9 p.m. or 8 p.m., whenever it comes on, and I know that within the first hour, I can see a Hogan promo, a Sting versus Jeff Jarrett or whomever match, and Ric Flair talk, but I can watch Raw or whatever other associated program or SmackDown that's, I think, moving back to Thursdays on Sci-Fi when it comes to Sci-Fi, and I know I can watch Drew McIntyre versus Kofi, or I know I can watch Edge and whomever wrestle, I'm going to tune into SmackDown on Sci-Fi as opposed to watching TNA for the simple fact of I've seen all of that before with TNA. It went by a different name called WCW.
All right.
And I have an answer to your question about MMA testing, by the way.
What was the question?
You guys didn't know what policies the MMA testing had?
Oh, bet. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, most of it is urine testing, but there are some agencies, UFC, Strikeforce, you know, agencies like that, and state athletic commissions that require random anti-doping testing, which is blood testing.
So it's mostly their urine, though.
But it's mostly through urine. And I know that their rules, UFC's rules and a lot of the MMA institutions across the country's rules are a lot harder, a lot stricter than the NFL and WWE. They're not as strict as the International Olympic Committee, but they're a lot stricter than WWE and the NFL. And I know this because I just started MMA training about a month ago, and I have my first amateur fight in October. And I have to start my testing in September.
All right, well, good luck with that, man.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Don't get too much brain damage.
It's minimal. There's nothing there to hurt. Anyway, congratulations on 50 shows.
Oh, man, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the call.
Yep, if Paul London shows up, I'll be listening.
Cool, man. 888-357-9876, option one. Radio at online, yeah. worldofwrestling.com. What's up, Scott?
Not much. I thought I'd call in, you know, since it is the 50th episode, let people know that I do exist.
Yeah, get Corey's lazy butt in here. We want to talk to him, too.
I can't help you there. I can't force him onto the show. But I'd figure at this point, you know, we were all talking about how we all joined the show at one point.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I'd reminisce myself.
Cool, go for
it.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, well, back in, actually, I think, what was it, March of last year? I think right around the Davey Richards interview. I was invited to be, I think it was a senior indie producer as a part-time thing. You know, I put notes on, you guys would take the notes and build a show around it. Then, I figured, well, I was working, I couldn't really do a full-time, gig. And I said, all right, I'll help out. 2 weeks later, Nick said I had to be in the meetings, and, there it was, and I became a permanent member of the team. It's all your fault,
man. Yeah, it's all my fault. Mine and Shock's, I believe.
Shock brought me in. He did bring me in first, but you're the one that demanded that I had to be on the show. Although, it wasn't too bad. I got to interview Bret Hart.
Yeah, I remember what you said to Bret, too.
Yeah. Disrespect. And of course, according to Shock, who's in the chat, this is for you. Yes, I interrupted Bret Hart. You happy now?
You didn't just interrupt him. You disrespectfully said, what?
And I had to miss that interview.
Hey, look, it was my first time. My phone was a little buggy. I mean, California was exploding that day or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't hear him at first. And all of a sudden, I hear Bret Hart in the background. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm talking over him.
A New Yorker, though. It's just like a New Yorker to just come out and just say, what? I mean, how disrespectful. You couldn't say, can you repeat that, or excuse me? You just what? There's a guy of maybe twice your senior, and you go, what? I've never said that to an elder.
Yeah, like Corey just said, you were channeling Stone Cold.
Yeah, I was bringing out my inner Austin, huh? Had a few beers afterwards, flipped a random person the bird. You know, just hanging out the window. But still, it was a lot of fun. I was glad I was a part of that.
We still need to get Brett back. No, we can get him back.
You remember when New Jack called us?
Oh God, that's actually one of my favorite moments, because you know, I've actually been to several shows that New Jack's been to, because I used to do a lot of USA Pro shows here. I used to go to with run by Frank Goodman, and New Jack used to be on every one of them, and he is a scary person to be around. Even when he's just, you know, last show I saw him at, I remember, he was facing low-life Louis Ramos, and he was, he's a coked-up bulldog. He's a coked-up pit bull, it seems like. He scared me, man. He was going throughout the whole arena, beating this guy bloody, and, of course, I was getting a kick out of it still, nonetheless, but the guy still scared me. And then he brought a kid into the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Some random kid from the audience, he actually brought him into the ring. I've never seen Frank Goodman run so fast in my life. It was like 100 feet from the back to the ring. I saw him sprint all the way there trying to get the kid out of the ring. Afraid New Jack was going to do something stupid because, New Jack.
Yeah. There's a lot of controversy behind New Jack, right, Alan? That mass transit incident. That was a big story where that kid actually, well, he died months after from surgery. But
actually, it was a few years after, I think.
Was it a few years?
Yeah, I think he died when he was 22. And I think the incident happened when he was 17. I think it was a gastric bypass surgery. You know, it's a very dangerous surgery for some people.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think the lap band's becoming, why are we talking about this?
Yeah, well, New Jack called in was over the Jeff Hardy situation. Jeff Hardy was just suspended by the WWE for the drugs. And New Jack called us up, basically going off on wrestling media and media altogether, is what it sounded like. Rock?
Hey, this is New Jack. I just got an email about Jeff Hardy. Dude, whoever put that shit out there, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why they sent it to me, but so fucking what? He got arrested. So what? So fucking what? He got arrested. Do you know how many people in wrestling has been arrested? Do you know how many people in this business has went to jail for simple, stupid shit? Okay, molesting kids and you know, underage and touching on people they ain't got no business touching on, and drugs and drinking and this and that and what the fuck ever. I think even the owner was once even indicted on some shit. He didn't go to jail, but so fucking what? I mean, I don't even got to sit there and call names about all the motherfuckers that I know in this business done went to jail before, because it's always been a goddamn secret. Everybody don't want nobody to know. But I done went to jail more motherfucking times than any 10 people combined. So he went to jail. So fucking what? And if he got fired for that shit, I don't fucking know, because I don't watch that bullshit. But so what? So what? My answer to Jeff going to jail is so fucking what? He's only goddamn human. I drink and drive every fucking weekend. I just don't get caught because I take shortcuts. Go to back road next time, Jeff, if that's what you got locked up for. Good luck, bro. Keep your head up and go to the next fucking company. I guess your next gimmick will be the drunk Jeff Hardy dude. That'll probably go over. Y'all are bored. He went to jail. So fucking what?
Oh, God.
Next time, Jeff, take your dick out and smack him in your side of the head. Give it and leave you alone. Oh, and you can hit me back. I don't give a fuck. Hit me back on Facebook or New Jack Uncut, which is my space. I don't give a fuck. I'll come on the radio and say this shit again. So fucking what? He went to jail. So what? Leave him the fuck alone. Cocksucker.
That really just seals the deal at the end with that, you know, that yeah. Oh, God. That's a lot more. I think that's more vulgarity in that one little 2-minute blurb than we've had in all 50 episodes of our show.
Yeah, probably.
That's just, I'm sorry, that's hilarious.
Needless to say, we did not contact New Jack after that.
Yeah, I think that was when we took him off the potential guest list. Actually, we've also had some really important shows the last year, haven't we?
Yeah, we can't forget about those.
Yeah, the passing of Umaga, you know, our tribute show to him.
Owen Hart tribute show?
Mm-hmm. The tribute show to Jack Briscoe.
Yeah, yes. We've done a number of tribute shows. In fact, the Umaga show, we had his family listen in. We got countless emails and support from his family in putting that tribute together. We also did a Killer Kowalski tribute.
And we can't forget about the Cauliflower Hour Club shows.
Yeah. Oh, those are great.
Yeah.
We actually do the shows down there at the in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, those CAC shows are pretty interesting. I'm glad we've had Carl Lauer on twice so far. You know, both interviews are very good. Actually, Lauer's first interview was my favorite for the longest time until, you know, we had Hugh Morris on.
Yeah, Hugh Morris was one of my favorites.
Let me see. I'm going to have to go all the way back to Obsess. One of my favorite interviews was when we had with Jimmy Vaillant. You brought it up earlier, Aaron.
That was the first.
Yeah.
No, that was the second show with the new site.
Was it?
That was episode 2, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Well, he was one of my favorite. He is my favorite. I'm going to say that. Yo, you remember when Johnny Vaillant came on and he did his little comedy stint? You remember that? Yeah, we didn't know what was going on with that dude. He just came on and started railing on doing his comedy stand-up routine. That was pretty cool, too.
Mm.
Yeah, we've done some good ones over time, haven't we?
One of my favorites over the couple of years that you've been doing the site was back on Obsessed whenever you had Larry Zbysko on.
Yeah, that was cool, too. That was cool.
Yeah.
He talked about a lot of things. He talked about how he's been in contact with TNA and they weren't going to use him, but he wanted to help out a lot more. They didn't want him.
Yeah, and Dave used to always joke around saying, I remember whenever we had Bret Hart on, he was telling me that I could have his spot for Bret Hart because whenever he had Larry Zbysko on, he just froze up.
I'm still sorry about that, Aaron. I know you're so bitter about not getting to talk to Bret Hart.
Yeah, he was emailing me the whole week, basically. I got to get on with Bret Hart. Got to get on with Bret Hart. I'm like, dude, Scott brought the interview to us. He's got to be on for it.
I only helped. Dave did most of the legwork. You know, after with the email, I just happened to finagle my way into meeting Bret Hart at the ROH show. You know, and being one of the last people to see him that night, I was able to, you know, actually speak to him for more than a second, you know, and ask him if he'd be willing to do the show. And he said, yeah, just contact me through my email site and I'll do it. It also helps when you drop names like Nick Bockwinkel and Dory Funk Jr.
Yeah. You remember our Jeopardy? You remember our Jeopardy segments? We had Jeopardy segments.
No.
I was the big fan of segments. You guys didn't like it for some reason.
No, I was just mad that I didn't win.
I wasn't much of a fan myself, but, you know, to each their own, right?
Right. Well, here's to another great 50 shows that we do down the line and more here on Online World of Wrestling. On onlineworldofwrestling.com. The producers of OWW Radio,
Corey Marles, the executive producer, Scott NDX on Genesis, Aaron, TNA Kendrick, Alan Wojcik, host, Dick Anthony, I'll host as well. Online, worldofwrestling.com is the website. Jason Dedrich is the owner, and Brad Dyke is chief editor for that site. Aaron, go for it, man.
Well, first off, we want to give a special thanks to all of our producers throughout the stay of OWW Radio. We want to thank Daniel Wade. He was a big part in the early days. Dave Cave, you know, he was the original Aaron Kendrick of OWW Radio. He used to have my spot. And like we said earlier, we want to wish him the best wherever he is. We want to thank Adam Baum, the first ever guest of OWW Radio.
Yeah.
From there, it just took off for us, and we're very thankful for that. And so, you know, every guest that we've had since then, we want to give a special thanks to, and we apologize that we wasn't able to get Paul London on tonight. We'll see if we can't get him on down the line. But for now, we're on iTunes, where you can go and find, I believe, every one of our 50 shows. So go look for us on iTunes as well as over at clickwrestle.com. We're on Twitter, as we covered earlier. We have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel. Also, wrestle-radio.com and Wild Talk Radio Networks are where you may find us. OWW is the gold standard as well as the most reliable wrestling source in the world. And we are the longest running non-wrestling weekly radio talk show. I guess that's what Alan says. So
actually, I think it is. It's the longest running episodic wrestling themed action comedy show.
There you go.
What happened to Alan? Where is Alan? Did Alan hang up on us or what?
Rock's been telling you for the past 45 minutes that he hung up, Nick.
I haven't been reading it.
good job, Nick.
Alright.
Our email address is radio@onlineworldwrestling.com, and if you want to get a hold of us during the week, you can call Nick at 866-543-6990. And I just mentioned Rock a minute ago. We want to wish him a happy birthday, and if you want to be a part of that celebration, you can tune into CB Radio this Saturday, I believe, at midnight. So come check that out, and here's to another good 50 episodes, Nick.
All right. Thanks a lot, Aaron, Alan, Rock, Tim, Shockage, Brad, Jason, Corey, Scott. For Alan Wojcik, I'm Nick Anthony. See you.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.